They're ready to believe you.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Everybody keep cool.
Stay cool. Stay cool.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Everybody keep cool.
Stay cool. Stay cool.
Everybody keep cool.
Everybody love Don and Mike.
And here he is back from his starring role as Michael Landon in last night's TV movie. He did the best job. I thought I was looking at Michael all over again. Here is Robbie Speedbump, also known as Little Joe.
Hello, RJ. Tell me about your dreams. Are you sort of taking the wind out of my sails here? Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. New Tim McWilliams and all the Tips at Sea. Perhaps you enjoyed them last night on CBS as Michael Landon and his son. I know I sure did. It's Don Geronimo and Michael Landon.
Oh, yeah. Hello, and thank you for listening. Coast to Coast to Nationwide. Still with Westwood One, but, those days rapidly coming to an end.
Rapidly, not rapidly enough, as far as we're concerned.
Don Geronimo, Mike O'Meara, right here. That's why we still do the Jay Collins and Cotton Pickings Don and Mike Show.
Ah, yes, nothing like a cross-country flight in 22 hours.
Who doesn't love us?
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Still coming to you from Sinkhole Number 1, WJFK. Washington, D.C., that's our home station. Ken Stevens, he's the general manager with the skin tags of the six-car garage.
Yeah, I saw him getting a little from Ken Stevens today. It was Ken Stevens and Tim McWilliams, I should say.
Oh, they were going a little mano-a-mano?
Yeah, well, it was the new Tim McWilliams that Ken was receiving.
Oh, is he still doing the hello, Mr. Stevens?
Yeah. It's starting to get a little annoying.
And, of course, Mark Anthony. That's Jeremy Coleman.
Mark Anthony!
He's on the first floor, assuming the fetal position underneath his glass coffee table right now. Executive floor. Then all the way in New York City, I got Big Daddy Mel Buddha ruling the world, and our agent, Egypt Prostate, making those deals.
Yes, he is. God love him.
Making us happy. Freeing us from our shackles. Word of advice right now for you soccer moms. Grab a car for a junior missing with the way to the back of the room. Look at that.
Oh, my goodness. He's wearing a party hat.
He's happy, Mike. We got our new syndication deal. I have just ripped it out another perfectly executed over this big-time major market radio show. Yes, network du jour is still Westwood One.
Sure.
60 affiliate stations. We do have 5 million Arbitron-rated listeners. And for that, we are eternally grateful.
We most certainly are.
And here he is to my left and to your right. You loved him last night. Is Michael Landon's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
There is our friend Guy Birdley. Hello, Guy.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi. Well, listen. Today's show's so jam-packed.
Jam-packed!
Everybody's got junk to talk about. I got a ton of weekend crap to get through. Mike's got his trip to Vegas.
Oh, yes.
Buzz put on a bachelor party for porn over the weekend.
It looks like it was pretty good, huh, Buzz?
Big success, I'd say.
So Everybody's got stuff to talk about. Let's just start the show right now with a couple of quick phone calls at 1-800-636-1067. Today is the 24th. Of May.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the first call of the new week. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, hey, Don, Mike.
Hey, Bobby.
Yeah, I caught you up. I had twins last night, and I named them Don and Mike.
I hope there are boys who named them Don and Mike.
I want to send you guys some pictures so you know that I'm not lying with their birth certificates or something.
Oh, that's great. You know, I believe you. I just believe you from the way you sound. I bet you did that.
I told my wife, she was like, what do you want to name? I said, Don and Mike. She's like, sure.
Now, neither Mike nor myself would be the father of these children.
Yeah. Nah.
Oh, that's good. That's a relief.
Excited.
That's, you know, we have enough of that support. That's for sure.
All right, well, thank you, my friend.
I'm going to send you guys some pictures.
Please do.
All right, guys.
Congratulations.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Were they joined? Did he say where they joined at the head?
I didn't hear anything about conjoined twins, but hey, we'd be happy nevertheless. In fact, we might even be a little happier
sure.
if they were conjoined.
I love Don and Mike Show.
I love the rain in the month of May.
All right, well, me too.
Good little song to start the week.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
What's up, Don?
Yes, I'm here.
Don, it seemed to me like you would have started the show off with, he finally won.
LaLucci?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, please, I could give a rat's ass if Susan Lucci finally won a Daytime Emmy Award. And frankly, I'm a little sick of seeing her crying.
LaLucci!
On every TV show, please.
Come on.
I was happy for her right up until she made her speech. And then when she made her, like, Vivian Lee, Scarlett O'Hara, BS speech, I found myself wishing that it was, what was she nominated, 19 times?
Right.
I want to tell you something. A loser once, a loser twice, a loser 18 times, always a loser. As far as I'm concerned, her record is now 1-18.
Rosie O'Donnell showing the waterworks when she won.
Oh, please.
Gushing tears.
Oh, ridiculous. All this outpouring for Susan Lucci.
Mm-hmm.
Please, she's an actress on a soap opera.
Right.
The award that she won, it's meaningless.
I hated the acceptance speech because it was like, it was really emotional. You saw her do the old trembling thing, which like Miss America's pageant winners do.
And thank God, you know, they started the music to get her off the stage.
Yes.
And then she announced
it. She started going, boo.
Yeah. She's not going to give up the podium.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's waited so long for this moment.
And the voice she used was like this. This pony, pony, I'm so happy. I
will always be Eric and Kane.
Now I'm going to go back and play Eric.
It's like, oh, stop it.
Right.
Shut up. No wonder you lost. It's not an Academy Award. It's not a Golden Globe. Not even a real Emmy, man. It's a daytime Emmy. She might as well have won the Bobby Poe Award, Mike. You and I have won the Bobby Poe Award.
That's
we didn't
right.
get up and scream and cry.
No, we did not.
We didn't make those little speeches like this.
It was like, Lucci.
Please.
Hello.
Hello?
Yes, Don and Mike show. Hello there.
Hey, Don and Mike. This is Joey, first time caller.
Yes, hello, Joseph.
And I just wanted to let you know that I had a dream last night that I was eating pudding. And I woke up with a spoon in my ass.
P-U-D-D-I-N, pudding. Not to be confused with pumpkin.
Well, that sounds like a horrible dream.
Hello, Don and Mike show. It's not to be confused with the dream that I had last night. I can't tell you about the dream I had last night.
Mighty interesting dream, though. You told us all about it. It was pretty interesting.
Hello?
Don.
It was nothing sexual or anything. Just somebody that we know passed away in the dream.
Maybe a little sexual, though.
Oh, no. I don't know how you interpret dreams, but in no way was this sexual.
I don't know.
Hello?
Yeah, Don, your hair, it's gone. Your hair is history, man. The movie's not making nearly as much money as they need it to make.
You know, this is, of all the guys that are going to call and be the first one to bring this subject up, you get a guy like this. This is the kind of guy that I just like to worry
about. I have resigned myself to the fact that I may lose this bet. However, I am going to string it on until Star Wars is out of every theater.
But you should.
Out of every $1 theater in America.
You absolutely should, and that could be a very, very long time and give you months of time to prepare.
I'm planning on losing this bet after the millennium, after the first of the years when I plan on shaving my head, if in fact I lose the bet.
So would it be conceivably the day after we get back from our little millennium break?
Yeah, first day back.
First day back. Oh, that's going to be, oh dear.
Sure.
I'm already not looking forward to that day right now.
Oh, yes, you are. Come on.
I don't know. It's just, because, it's tough coming back from vacation. Actually, we're in good moods when we come back from vacation. Right. So maybe it's the perfect day to do that.
Yeah, right.
I just know you. I know you, and no matter how this pans out, if you have to pay off on this bet, you're going to be just like I was. And even though you do it, and you're a stand-up guy, and you will pay the bet off.
Oh, I won't be happy. There's no doubt about it.
I think it's going to be funny to see you get your head shaved. But I'm not looking forward to all the crap that's going to go right, because you can't help but be in a bad mood.
I'd just like to point out that it's not a foregone conclusion yet that Star Wars will not make more money than Titanic.
And I think that the things might change, and tones very well might change after the Memorial Day weekend. I really think it's going to be a big go weekend.
I did see it again this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I took the kids to see it this weekend.
Right.
The movie's a total stinker. I thought maybe the first time I saw it, maybe I was a little biased.
Right.
Because I was in the screening audience and everything.
Yep.
No. Worse the second time.
Lousy.
Yeah.
But you helped your own cause there.
Yeah, you bet. I bought 5 tickets. 5 tickets at $7 each.
For each person going to the movie.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
I wanted to talk to Don and Mike about Star Wars.
Oh, what about Star Wars? We're here right now, sir.
Hi, Don.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine. Just looking at the prospect to have my head shaved on the first of the year.
Mm. I went and saw the movie this weekend, and I thought it was pretty good.
Oh, you, sir, are an idiot.
Oh, well, thanks. Yeah, I mean, I've only seen others once or twice, so I'm not one of those Star Wars freaks, so...
The movie's awful. The movie is painfully boring, awful, and furthermore, watching it the second time just illuminated the many flaws of that movie to me.
You saw it twice?
Yeah, I went to the screening, and then I took the kids to see it this weekend.
I thought it was pretty good.
Let me just say, the movie is about as exciting as this guy's energy level. You hear how much this guy's bringing to the table?
You see that movie 50 times, you're going to sound a lot worse than this guy.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don, did anyone ever tell you that you sound like Danny Bonaduce?
Well,
oh,
you know,
my God, the compliments.
The compliments left and right.
Danny Bonaducci.
Thank you. No, I've been often compared to Reuben Kincaid. Mr. Dave Madden, who was the manager of the Partridges. Yes.
John's brother.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yes. Never let your philosophical notions loiter in the realm of perpetual ambiguities. Wrestling is real.
Wrestling? Oh, you're talking about the wrestler that fell and hurt himself? That had nothing to do with wrestling being real or
that was like a snake. That was a stunt gone bad.
Mm-hmm. That had nothing to do with those guys pretending they're punching each other and using cardboard chairs.
And turn your radio down.
Real.
Well, he's just real proud of himself because he wrote out all those big 25-cent words.
Right, he got all the syllables correct.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don, Mike.
Yeah, Bobby.
Martin from Reno.
Yes, hi, Martin.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, Mike went to the Oscar De La Hoya fight, right?
Yes.
Well, it didn't look like he hit over Carl that hard.
No, it didn't look that way to me either when I was there.
Yeah, it looked like he took a dive or something.
Well, you know, I saw two knockouts, and both knockouts looked a little fishy.
Mm. Yeah, I think it was all, you know, I think it's just like...
I know, though, I'll tell you one thing. With that knockout, it didn't look like he hit him all that hard, and it looked like he kind of pushed him when he went down. But when his head hit the canvas... That was not fake, and I think that's what knocked the guy out, because when you see the replay, you'll see his head go down on the canvas and his neck kind of twisted, and that looked like he just hit it the wrong way. I don't think it was a dive, but I think he got knocked down, not with a... If he hadn't hit his head the way he did, he might have gotten back up and the fight would have continued.
Didn't I read that Oscar De La
Hoya?
He had hurt his hand or something before the fight?
Yeah, he had a hand injury, a personal problem.
A wrist injury, right?
Yeah, and he kept saying it was a personal problem, and I didn't understand that. I watched the replay of the fight, but you know, that guy De La Hoya.
That guy, you mean the guy that tried
the guy that tried
to sue us for playing his pre-recorded record that he sells in record stores on our radio show?
My wife had to talk me out of saying something to the guy because I was I was feeling very festive and by the time the fight had started.
You were feeling like Pat Van Patten.
Yeah, I was feeling a lot like Pat Van Patten. And you know, judgment occasionally is clouded, and fortunately, I was talked out of bringing up the fact that we had been sued to Mr. Buffer.
Oh, that's too bad.
Oh, man, what a pompous dink.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, Bobby.
You guys kick ass.
Right.
Yeah. You guys are bad.
Not my guy.
We're bad MFers. Wait, you know what? I'll claim that guy.
You can claim that guy.
I'll claim that guy.
Are you also going to claim the shout-out guy? Because that's a good guy to claim. If you don't want him...
No, I don't want him. You can have him.
Can I have the shout-out guy?
You can have him.
The guy goes, shout-out!
Add him to your army.
Yeah,
right. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, radio guy.
Bobby.
Oh, James. Sacramento.
Bobby.
How you doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
Awesome. Two things.
Yes.
Firstly, on the Star Wars deal, I will not see Star Wars per Don's recommendation. And furthermore,
no, please, let me interrupt you, please. I pray that you'll see it. I pray that you'll see it 10 times. The movie is awful, but consider now that every $7 you pay is $7 towards me keeping my hair.
That's right, and $7 towards Charlie Stossel,
right,
taking his hair off.
Absolutely.
Well, furthermore, I will not patronize the restaurants, the three, Pizza Hut, Taco Bell, or KFC, that are playing their games in an effort to...
Oh, well.
I want you... You know, I hate this movie. Secondly...
That doesn't go to...
Entrapment. I saw your favorite lady from Entrapment.
Yeah, yeah.
Zeta, buddy.
Fine.
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Oh, I love her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't think a whole lot of her from Zorro until I saw this movie. Woodrow City, baby.
Woodrow. Okay.
Hey,
Woodrow.
What is that, Mike? Mike, are you going to sing your Captain Hook song for us this week?
If it comes in, I will call my my dear 79-year-old mother and try to get her to get it in gear.
Come on!
You want me to call her?
Mom!
John, if it doesn't come in by Wednesday...
I'll give her a call.
I want you to give her the kind of call when we don't get something from people we want.
I'll ring her up. Of course, Thursday is normally my day to call your mom.
I understand.
I'll make it on Wednesday.
Your regular Thursday call. You're going to shake her up if you call her on Wednesday.
We just called and chatted about her boy, Mike.
Mom!
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Buzz Burbank rules!
There's a man for your army.
There's my guy.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, nothing but Don and Mike. Baldy Don.
Now, is this your guy?
Don and Mike.
I don't want him in my army.
That's a cheap imposter. That is not. I would like to say that my guy, when he calls in, he's much better audio quality, and he doesn't leak in the bathroom.
Hello? Not in my show. He's unclaimed, then.
Right.
You want him, Robbie?
I'll pick.
You want him?
You want to pick him up on waivers?
No, if he like gives me $5, I'll take him, but
okay.
I don't want him.
And what are you eating, Rob?
Chips.
I didn't notice that, Todd. Yes, you there, didn't you?
Rob, to quote Michael Landon, keep eating like that. Get as big as a barn.
If you don't need me in the 4 o'clock hour, I need to go throw up though.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
All right, one last call. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, hey, Don, I've got a celebrity that you most resemble.
Oh, please, come on. What are they? Kick me sign on my back today?
Ben Savage from Boy Meets World.
Ben Savage from Boy Meets World. Boy, and you know the compliment?
I know
compliment?
Not this celebrity.
I'm sure he looks like the hunchback of Notre Dame.
You haven't even have any idea who the guy is.
I do. Is that Fred Savage's brother?
Little brother, yeah.
Gotta be a compliment, Dennis.
Well,
you know, let's face it, Fred Savage is one step away from...
Right. Now, you're much more developed than Fred Savage.
Thank you.
I mean, Fred Savage is in that holding pattern to when he was 10.
Right.
You know, when they working, that show working, hasn't that since been canceled?
Yeah.
But when it came out, and he's supposed to be an adult, now, well, I'm sorry, you can't be an adult when you still look like you're 8.
Right. Oh, that reminds me, and of course, tonight, the Mad About You finale is on, and
who gives a frig about that?
Here, here. Then tomorrow night, the Home Improvement finale is on.
Right.
And I was reading an article in TV Guide over the weekend. Robbie, you got to get me that TV Guide. I want to read this on the show today. All of the sniping that's going on between the cast members of Home Improvement. For instance,
right,
the guy behind the fence?
Yeah.
The guy behind the fence has issues.
Oh, does he really?
Because he believes his character is being compromised if they show his face in the final episode. So to appease him, they filmed two endings. Like one where he shows his face and one where he doesn't show his face. Also,
unbelievable.
The mom has issues on the show.
Really?
Yeah. The mom wanted the show to get more serious. Okay,
oh,
and Tim Allen didn't.
Right.
The oldest kid had a fight with Tim Allen when he left the show.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
So he refused to come back.
Yeah, and Tim Allen was really ticked off at him.
To film the final episode.
I heard that Tim Allen raved out, like, on their taping, the final taping.
I know, it wasn't in the article.
It was kind of raved out at Jonathan Taylor Thomas for not even coming back for the final bout.
And the other thing that's so goofy is the guy that plays the tool-time buddy, the guy with the beard.
Yeah, the guy that does the sausages.
Yeah, right. We had him on the show one time, and he seemed like, you know, an affable enough guy. He seemed pretty nice.
Right. Nice enough guy.
Okay. He's got issues. That it says when they did the final episode of Home Improvement, which will never go down as even a moderate classic.
No, I agree.
He was upset about the development of his character, that he thought in the final episode that they didn't treat his character with the reverence that he needed to have a real sign-off, that they had just written dumb jokes for his character.
This was like the guy based on Norm from This Old House.
So he demanded that the writers go back in and retool the final episode so that his character got the proper sign-off. I mean, all these people are whining and moaning about a show that, as far as I know, nobody ever watches.
You know, who says that you lose your perspective when you go to Hollywood?
Oh, but here's the wackiest thing. You know how much they offered Tim Allen to come back and do another year of the show?
How much?
$50 million.
And Patricia Richardson, $25 million if Tim accepted.
Yeah. So he wanted to do it.
How many episodes in a season?
Like 23.
Yeah, if you're lucky.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So over $2 million.
So he wanted to do it. He wanted to come back and do it, of course, for $50 million. And she wouldn't do it because she had issues and she wanted the show to take a more serious route. And he didn't want the show to go serious. So they decided not to grace us, the public, with another year of Home Improvement.
I'll pay that kind of money. I'll do whatever they want. You know, make the show like the McNeil Lehrer Report. It doesn't matter to me.
And have you seen the promos for the last episode?
Yeah.
Where they're all going to stand on stage and pretend like they're on Broadway.
Yeah, do bow the whole
hands. Bow. People are going to throw flowers up there at them.
Pretend they're real actors. And the radio commercial with "He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother" as the music in the background.
Oh, are you kidding?
I'm not kidding. You'll hear it this afternoon.
All day.
Oh, God.
Do you know, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, truly, that I have never sat through an entire episode of Home Improvement in my life.
Me either.
Never from start to finish.
Even when it was real popular when it first came out, it's like, once you see Tim Allen going,
you gotta go.
It's like, okay, I know what the show's all about.
Never stayed through it. I mean, I thought it was a suck fest.
Right, well, they give it in a big, like, Jerry Seinfeld sign-off, man.
That's what everybody's doing now. You know, after Seinfeld, they're all trying to tap into that, and it's just not worth it.
I gotta get this article, though, to read you this, that these people who are bit players on a crappy television show, all of them having these big arguments
arguments with the producers about how their final episode should go.
You know, and the luck that you have to have. I mean, you have to have talent. You have to be in the right place at the right time. Or in Tim Allen's case, you know, be very, very lucky. But luck is the most important element. And you would think of these lucky people that happen to hit, you know, their stars on this TV show.
You could just be happy. You're
a little more happy.
You're on a show for 10 years.
Like us.
Like the Tool Time Buddy.
Right.
Well, I think we have a right not to be. But that Tool Time guy,
right?
The guy with the beard, the sausage guy,
who I thought was happy. He struck me as a guy that would be happy.
You can mean the money that guy's made off that show. I swear to God, I never bitch about Westwood one time. No, that guy's not happy.
Right.
And in the final episode, he's not getting treated. Or, excuse me. His character isn't getting treated the right way.
His character. This explains why the final episode is 90 minutes long.
Oh, are you kidding, Bob?
No, it's like a movie.
Aye, aye, aye.
What a bunch of crap. Who could sit through that?
Thank God there's still good TV shows on, though, like that Michael Landon story last night.
I'm giving that a round of applause. I was riveted. I thought that was fantastic.
I don't know if Michael Landon was as really a big a dick as his son made him out to be. And I'll just say on behalf of Michael Landon.
Yes.
Real easy to make a story about what a dick your dad was. When your dad is dead and he can't come back to defend himself.
Especially if your bad behavior, playing the role of the son, you know, and looking at all the bad things that happened, every bad thing that was done by the son seemed
because
to be
of daddy.
Direct result. You know, not in a roundabout way, just the movie wanted to make it really clear that every time that son effed up in some way, that daddy had said something.
It's little Joe's fault.
Little Joe had said something 5 minutes earlier before the kid turns, you know, wipes out his car.
It was a fantastic show, though. I mean,
it was great.
Absolutely love. What about the daughter, though? The daughter is anorexic, right?
Right.
So Michael Landon's son finds his sister, Michael Landon's daughter, put her finger down her throat and throw it up.
So yeah, a little bulimia. That's that bulimia, right?
That's exactly right. He says, "Why are you doing this?" And she looks up and she goes, "I thought if I lost weight, then maybe Daddy would come back."
Oh,
come on. Blame everything on little Joe.
They did. They laid it all on him. They laid it all squarely on him. But
I'll say fantastic, though.
You know, the Dukes of Hazzard guy, or not Dukes of Hazzard.
No, he's the Dukes of Hazzard guy.
John Schneider did a credible job as Michael Landon. I thought he did a really, really good job. He didn't overdo it, which I really thought he'd do. I thought he was great as Michael Landon.
His kids must have really hated him, though.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
well, you know,
really, really hated him.
You do have to take the facts as they are presented. But, you know, there's no way of making that look good that he, you know, he did trade in one full family twice for a new family, and that had to probably irritate him. But where I lose it is every single thing, you know, especially with the son. Anytime he messed up, it was, you know, 5 minutes earlier.
He starts drinking, and he's looking at a picture of him and his dad. Then he says, "Oh, my dad left my mom for another woman." Well,
right.
Glug, 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 glug. Here I go. What do you think of this, Daddy?
Oh, man. Amazing.
But it's pretty good to watch, though.
It was. I didn't expect I'd enjoy it as much. I really did. I liked every minute of it.
What a dick. They show Michael Landon winning this award. Like, was it an Emmy or something?
Yeah.
And he's saying, "Hey, this is our show's about family, and I love my family." Then he immediately goes home and tells his wife to blow off that he's got a young starlet he's banging.
Yep,
oh, exactly. My God.
It was pretty interesting.
It was fantastic.
It really, really was.
It's good, man.
The son says he left a lot of the juicy stuff, some of the Mommy Dearest type stuff, out of the story because he didn't want it to be another Mommy Dearest.
It came pretty close.
Yeah. You know, and I'd like to point out, weren't we discussing in the office earlier that this guy hasn't been featured in a lot of primary directing roles.
He's been featured in nothing.
So, and he worked on his father's show, right? The Highway to Heaven right before he died.
Right. Absolutely.
And then his real claim to fame is that it's a show about his father.
Right. Sure did. That's why I'm getting my kid to write a prenup with me. He's on the 14th. You're never too young to sign a prenup.
Absolutely. Sign on the line.
All right, hold on. I know I said no more calls. One more call, though. Because it's a guy who says he met Michael Landon, and he was a real dick.
Okay.
It was John?
Yeah, John and Mike.
When did you meet Michael Landon?
Back in 1987, I worked at this department store in Santa Monica, California. It was an old-time department store, and they came there to film their Christmas episode of Highway to Heaven. And so I had to get there like at 5 o'clock in the morning so the crew could come in and set up the store, because this was like in September, so to bring all the Christmas motifs and everything out. But he got there like at 8 o'clock in the morning, and he was just very full of himself. And the other people in the cast, like Victor French, that was in Little House on the Prairie with him, that was Mr. Edwards, was a really nice guy. But, you know, everybody was trying to get Michael Landon's autograph, and he wouldn't sign anybody's autograph or anything. And I remember his kid was working on the show in the same job that they portrayed him in the movie as doing, and just wasn't a very, very accessible person, and
so you're, what you're saying is you're backing up everything the
Sun said. Everything in the movie that I saw last night was right on as far as how Michael Landon was and everything, just right exactly on.
Okay, thank you.
All right, John, thanks.
All right, bye-bye. The theme from Highway to Heaven.
Nope, Little House on the Prairie.
Little House on the Prairie. Probably interchangeable things.
Same show, basically. The same show.
Right.
Except that one show they had cars, and then the other show they were still riding on horseback.
You know, it would seem to me that if you're a big celebrity in Hollywood, it would be more difficult to handle the celebrity associated with this kind of a show than it would if you were doing a show where you were like a real jerk. Because everybody expects you to be a goody two-shoes, so that probably makes you even more of a dink if you're so inclined.
When you drop that first line, she's pretty hot.
I don't know. I mean, the one played by Cheryl Ladd?
Charlie's Angel, man.
Man, that was the second wife.
I know she's just an actress.
She's preserved herself rather nicely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Pretty H.O.T.
Yeah.
I think so, too. Okay, hold on. We're up on a first break already. And should we do the touchdown now?
Sure.
Oh, we got to do lots of contests this week. This Friday.
Right?
Big free money show.
Yes.
With one person with $5,000 all at once.
Have to be listening to the show, and one person will win the money.
$5,000 this Friday. Might as well put you in there and give you something right now. You're calling 100 at 1-800-636-1067.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Nobody won't tell me the world is
Don and Mike.
All right, here we go. Caller 100. Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yes. No way.
Who is this? Who is this?
Tony from Las Vegas.
Tony.
Antonio.
Tony, we do appreciate the enthusiasm. Oh, listen, you had a good try, so. You won a Spawn varsity jacket.
Ooh. Oh.
On this show.
That is a good prize.
On this show, that qualifies as a fantastic prize.
Cool.
Don't miss the premiere of Spawn, now through the 28th. New episode every night at midnight, Eastern and Pacific. Only on Home B.O.
Yeah.
Tony, you've qualified to win $5,000 that we are giving away on Friday's episode.
Yes.
This Friday, one person wins $5,000. Tony!
Tony! Yes.
You got to be listening to win, okay?
All right!
$5,000? Give it away.
I love you guys, man.
I love
Don and Mike. I listen every day.
Thank you, Tony.
Tony!
The $5,000 is courtesy Advantage Title. You're thinking about buying a house or refinancing your mortgage? Please assist on Advantage Title, 1-800-573-7770. Thank you, Tony!
Yes!
Hey.
Thank you, Don and Mike. Love you guys.
So love you.
Yeah.
It's starting to get a little cool. All right, you're starting to get home over there. Appreciate the fact you love the show. Thank you very much. Okay, weekend.
Yes.
Let me see. I give it to you in two separate parts, okay?
All right.
First part will be my real man weekend.
The manly man weekend?
Yeah, and then the second part will be when I went back to being soft.
Okay.
This weekend, I did a lot of very manly stuff. I went paintballing again.
Right, and you had all your equipment this time.
I went with my son and with five of his friends.
And how many paintballs did you have in tow?
1,800.
1,800 paintballs.
And when we got to the paintball place, that's when the guy informed us, you can't bring your own paintballs. You got to buy the paintballs there.
What a dirt bag.
So now I've got 1,800 paintballs in my garage.
What a ripoff that he didn't let you bring your own.
And, you know, I don't know how you people with tons of kids do it. Because we have one kid, and he drives us crazy. And this weekend, we had six. It was six 14-year-old boys that were pretty much
right
in my charge all weekend. Frida conveniently said, oh, listen, they want to do all the stuff with you.
Right.
So she was going to go, like, the Home Depot and stuff like that with her mother. You know, this car that I have, the new car that I've been trying to keep so nice.
Yeah.
All it takes is one weekend with six boys.
The sensible family sedan got a little messed up.
Oh, forget it. The car's ruined now. I mean, I'm way past my wife breaking the trunk and breaking the door on the car now. The car now is absolutely total. First off, smells like boys.
Right.
There's handprints everywhere.
Greasy.
Inside
kid handprints.
Inside the car. I went and cleaned the car out today, and I see I got these little, like, leather pouches on the passenger seats on the back.
Right.
Totally ripped off.
Ripped off?
Well, I crammed four kids into the back seat, and you're really only supposed to have three kids in the back seat.
So like knees and legs and feet.
Feet and who knows what else.
Oh, my God.
So we went to play paintball. And, you know, for being a pacifist and a guy who is not for guns,
right?
Can I tell you something? I'm hooked on this paintball thing. I'm absolutely hooked on it. We played Capture the Flag.
Right.
And it was about 90 degrees, and I'm wearing the camouflage and the Darth Vader helmet
sure.
and the knee pads.
felt more at ease, though, this time around.
Yeah. First game, I got taken out immediately. I was behind the bunker. One of these little bastards shot me in the head again. Right? I mean, I don't know how this is, that on the helmet thing,
right,
there was only a small patch of my hair that was exposed, and that's the one spot that the kid got. So my hair turned orange. I got a big knot on my head.
Oh. It's painful. People don't realize that. When you play that paintball, it is definitely painful.
So the first game was fun. I was knocked out right away. The second game, my team lost again.
Right.
But again, I got pelted. I'm behind this bunker, and three of the kids are there, and it's not enough for one of them
right.
to shoot and get me out. It's like, and I mean, I got a welt there,
yes.
I got a welt here, I got welts on my ass, I got welts on my legs.
They go for you because you're the older one.
I was laying on the ground, going, stop it, stop it, they shoot me. So the third game, I thought, I don't care if these are my son's friends or not.
Right.
Forget about it. I killed three of them.
There you go.
Killed three of them in the third game. Got the flag.
Now, all it takes is one, right? I mean, if you get them with one piece of paint.
If you get hit with one paintball.
You're done.
You're out.
That's it.
However, you know, if there's three kids and they're all shooting at you.
Right.
You know, it's like, it's open season.
Sure.
Open season on dad. So the third game, I got mad and took them out, went and got the flag. And, you know, I guess I now can understand how guys react in war situations. Like,
sure.
When you've got nothing to lose.
Right.
Because I had taken out two of these little kids, and we were playing on a field about 150 yards.
Right.
And you got to run to one end. What you had to do is get the flag and then run it back to the other end.
Right.
So I made my way up there and just spraying. I went through like 800 paintballs in this game. Because I'm just spraying.
The expensive ones that the guy sells. Right.
Yeah. Nonstop. I'm spraying these things at the kids. I go and I get the flag. And then I think, well, what the hell? I'm just going to run right down the middle of the field. And it's like in a movie. You know when you see the hero running through a field and like everybody's shooting at him?
Sure, the Dirty Dozen. Jim Brown and the Dirty Dozen.
You go, how come none of those bullets managed to hit this guy? Well, for whatever reason.
Because you went full speed ahead.
Right? It worked for me, and I got there, and I put the flag.
Modern American hero.
Put the flag on the piece of rope. And I mean, I started doing a dance like at the Super Bowl. You know, and all the kids are looking at me like, what is wrong with Bart's father? And I was like hyperventilating. I got this helmet on going, yes! 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 Victory! Victory! I won! I killed you! Yes! I mean, a little out of control. It's a little nutty.
Well, you've been roughed up in the game. You know, you'd had a lot of, you'd taken your knocks, you'd paid your dues, and you wanted to get out of your system.
So I figured that my obligation as being the dad of the year is done.
Right.
Because I've done something that I'm not very good at. I've taken all these kids. We go to McDonald's, we eat, we get back home, we play basketball, then Bart says to me, Dad, didn't you tell me you'd take me fishing? And I
said, same day?
Yeah. I said, well, yeah, I said I would take you fishing sometime.
Mm-hmm.
You got five friends here.
It's a lot of tackle.
I said, Dad, let's go fishing. I'm not an outdoorsman, you know that.
Right.
So we go, we get the bait, we got a whole bunch of minnows. It's gross. You got to take these fish that are still alive, and you got to put them on the hooks.
Are you going down the ocean, like to the pier or something like that?
Oh, we went out of the bay.
Okay.
We went out of the bay. Friend of ours has a boat.
Right.
We commandeered the boat.
Right.
We went out on the bay, and I mean to tell you, I caught not one, not two. I caught three fishes.
Three fishes?
Wow.
Big fishes or little fishes?
Oh, listen, caught a flounder.
Ah, that's a good fish.
Not much to that. Okay, just a little flounder. But I caught a blowfish.
Okay.
Now, I had never seen a blowfish before. I pulled this thing out, and they got it in the net, and when the fish was in the net, it started to puff up, and it really puffed like a balloon.
Right, yeah. That's right. It does that to scare away its enemies.
It scared the hell out of me. I didn't know what it was that I caught.
Isn't that the one that's poisonous, too?
Yes,
it
is.
Eat it at sushi bars?
Yes, it is. I immediately wanted to keep the fish, and the guy that we were out with said, no, it's not big enough. You can't keep it.
Right.
So I was like, oh, just come on. I never catch any fish. I got two fish already, so we throw it back. Third fish. And the only reason I knew what this fish was is because there's a baseball team named after this fish. I caught a devil ray.
Oh, you did?
Like a Tampa Bay devil ray?
Like a stingray.
A devil ray, not a stingray.
What's the difference?
I don't know.
Well, what does it look like?
It was big and had like Ferengi ears. You know, I mean, the big wings on it were like, you know, Star Trek Ferengi?
Yes. Yeah, I do. I do. Was it like the, you know, the big flappy things with the kind of wings? It's got wings on it?
Yeah, and it had a tail.
Right.
Everybody said to me, don't touch the tail.
Got the mouth underneath it, right?
Right. Well, this guy had swallowed my hook
right
so far into his throat that when we pulled him out, we had it in the net, and then everybody said to me, well, you got to let him go. And it was one thing for me to reach down and take the hook out of the flounder and take the hook out of the blowfish, but I mean, I'm scared of this fish.
Mm-hmm.
So I go down, and the thing is fighting like holy sin. I mean, it's back and forth, back and forth. I reach down, can't get the goddamn thing out of the thing's throat.
Right.
And the thing scaring the hell out of me. Out of its mouth.
Right.
You know what I mean.
I know. It's just part of its throat right next to its ear.
You know what? All those, like, those big wings look like big ears. All the kids are standing around going, wow, look at that fish. Meanwhile, my knees are knocking because I'm petrified of this thing.
Sure. Well, it can sting you, right?
I wasn't even thinking about that. I'm looking at the mouth and thinking, am I going to have to put my hands?
It's got in its own little way, a devil ray has kind of a shark's mouth in a way. It's just got that kind of little,
yeah,
you know, underneath.
Right.
That, you know.
Except the mouth was wide open because right. There was a hook stuck halfway down there. So the guy that we're with says, you got to put your hand in there. You've got to try to reach in and get the hook off, you know, his tonsils or whatever they're on down there.
Right.
I said, okay. I stick my hand in there, and as soon as I put my hand in there, my fingers touched against something. It wasn't tooth, but it was like the inside of the fish's mouth.
Yeah.
And I went,
So kind of like sandpaper?
No, it felt like mud. It was like ooey feeling. So I pull my hand out of me. There's a thing still flopping around in this net, and now they're all saying to me, you got to do something because you're killing it now.
Right, right.
Now you're killing it by keeping it in this net outside of the water. Like, well, all I could think to do was, I said, well, just give me the clippers.
Well, that's what they do, you know, and they'd probably dislodge.
I said, I will just cut the wire. Mm-hmm. I'll just cut the reel there.
Fine.
Everybody said, no, that's inhumane. So, again, I'm fighting with this again. Now they're giving me...
You just get pliers and just reach down there and get
that. That's exactly what they were doing. Right. Like, they started giving me all these other tools.
Right.
And as they're giving me these tools, I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this tool? And the guy says to me, fuck, pull on a tool.
Was there anyone nautical on the boat that was able to...
Yeah, help? But he was busy making sure that the boat wasn't going to sink. Because that was the other problem that we had, was like... all the kids would start screaming, oh, no, we're in 1 foot of water now.
Yeah, a lot of low areas.
Right, so he had to be careful to go and try to move the boat so that we wouldn't get grounded.
Right.
So they're handing me, like, the pliers and all this. They're like, what am I supposed to do with this? And one of them is, like, pull out a tooth.
Yeah.
I said, I don't know what dentist you've been to, but I've never been to a dentist where I think he just reaches in with a pair of pliers and grabs
the hook
out the teeth.
With the pliers and push forward
well,
and pull out.
I tried,
yeah.
And all I'm doing to this fish is, and it looked like I'm giving him a rope-a-dope, because I'm going, oh, and the fish is just going, boom, 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 back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And finally, I'm just ready to give up.
Right.
I said, well, screw it. You know what? I said, he's dead either way. And I turn around, and I see the kids, like, their faces.
The sunken faces.
It's like, oh, my God. Suddenly, I'm the evilest man on the world. So I said, okay, one more try.
Right.
And I stuck virtually my whole hand in this fish's mouth and finally got the damn thing out.
And freed it, and how did it go when it hit the water?
Freed it, and it just... I mean, the wings are going and everything, and it's gone. So I'm feeling like the hero, right?
Got three fish floating up about 5 minutes later.
Three fish, got it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the man.
Right.
I'm saying this to all the kids. Who's the man? I'm the man. I'm the man. So they want to fish a little more so they can catch something. Then I get one more big pull on my line, and by now I'm feeling cocky, right? Because I caught three fish already.
Three fishes.
Two of them kind of exotic.
Mm-hmm.
A blowfish and a devil ray.
Really?
So I said, uh-oh, hey, I got something again. I'm the man. I'm reeling it in, and I'm going, do you need some help? I said, no, you know what? This one is bigger than the other ones.
It's a human body.
No, you know what it was?
Right.
It was a sock.
Yeah.
It was a sock that was full of mud and had a bunch of what appeared to be some kind of fish fetuses on it.
Oh, maybe it was a foot. Maybe a totally decomposed foot.
No, it had these things that were snaking around the side of this sock that was full of mud. They looked like little shells.
Sea maggots.
Yeah, well, somebody said to me that there's some kind of fish fetuses or something.
Oh.
Some sea tide.
Oh.
But I had made such a big deal about this
right.
That actually other boats had stopped. Right? They had stopped, like, to see what the great fisherman was going to catch.
Right. And did they laugh when you pulled the sock out?
Laugh hysterically. It's a brown sock.
Gross.
It's just this big brown sock.
You didn't have any problem touching that, though, right?
Oh, I didn't want to, but I had to. I mean, who else is going to do it, right?
So it was covered with sea tide.
What appeared to be
Yes, fetuses.
Well, they have, fish have eggs. They don't have fetuses. So that's
well,
right.
They look like fetuses to me, Mike.
Okay.
I can only tell you what I saw when I was there, okay?
Okay.
I can only tell you what I saw. It's gross, man.
Okay.
Just gross. My hands are covered with, like, fish oogies.
Yeah.
Just yuck.
Did any of the kids catch anything?
No.
Not a thing.
Not a thing. Just me. Just Joe Homo. I'm the only one that caught a fish. How ridiculous is that?
Three fishes.
Feeling good about that, right? Feeling good? Then this is the last real man thing I got to tell you about the weekend. We get home. Warp opens Ocean City. As soon as we get home, immediately, what do I want to do? I want to get away from all these kids. So I go inside. I'm washing my hands. And all of a sudden, I hear my wife scream. I go outside, and there's a snake in the driveway. A snake? A black snake,
right,
had to be 3 feet long.
Mm-hmm.
Thing is gigantic.
Right.
Immediately, first thing I think is, I'm going to get a shovel. I'm going to kill this thing because, you know, I caught some fish today and I played paintball.
And you're a man and you're going to kill the snake.
Right. As soon as I'm ready to kill it, my wife says, don't kill it. It's the kind of snake that helps us.
Right. It eats mice.
That's what she said. She said, the snake eats all kinds of bad things that we don't want around the house.
Absolutely.
Meanwhile, I'm looking at this thing, the head on this thing, and the thing's going, it's got the tongue coming out and everything.
Right.
I don't know what it was about this weekend, but I was just ready to kill. I mean, after paintball and after putting my hand down the fish's mouth,
right,
I was just ready to kill this goddamn snake, and they all had to beg me not to kill him. So finally I went over.
They beg you to spare its life, huh?
Yeah. I went over and I picked him up with an oar from
right.
a boat, and I was just walking around kind of going, look at this. I got a snake on the end of this. And they're like, get rid of it. I'm just walking around going, look at this. That guy said, you strangle him with my own hands? What do you think, snake? You think you're so bad. You think you're so bad. And then the thing slivered off the
right.
oar a little bit and came about an inch away from me, and I ran.
I ran.
I ran like the biggest girl you've ever seen. And then my wife had to go with the oar and push it out of the way.
Push it back to its home. Push it back.
To its burrow. Christ. It's not easy being a real man.
Boy, the great outdoorsman. That's like Field and Stream. That's the entire outdoor weekend that you had, the outdoor life.
I'm really not used to that, man.
It's good, though. You feel invigorated.
Well, it was kind of tiring, actually. It's much easier just to take the kids to the movies or something.
I'm surprised you didn't shoot the snake with a paintball.
I would have if I had a paintball gun. We only ran them, Mike.
Oh, that's right.
We only ran them.
And now you still have 2,000 paintballs on your hands.
1,800. In my garage. Red, blue, and pink.
Ready to go.
All of them. All right, hold on. I got a guy who wants to yell at me. You want a Tori, you want to yell at me?
Don, you're being a girly man. Last year, what was it, a mouse in the bushes? You thought it was going to eat you?
That wasn't a mouse. That was a rabid fox, you idiot.
And come on.
No, come on, the animal control people came to my house. It was a fox.
Oh, how big are they?
You know what's amazing? This guy's busted your chops, but he is a loyal listener of the program because he's listened for that much time. I mean, that was almost a year ago.
What do you want to yell at me about?
Oh, I just had to give you a bad time. Couldn't get a hook out of the fish's mouth, and you ran away from the fox.
F you. F you, please. And where are you calling from?
Spokane.
I challenge you to a fight, okay? I'm feeling so manly. You bring your ass out here, I'll beat you with my bare knuckles.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, if you guys ever get a show out here.
Yeah, right.
So.
Right. I'll wait for you.
And you'll hold him that John L. Sullivan way, you know?
That's right, the old time.
The bare knuckle brawl.
The Marcus of Queens rules.
What's the baddest thing you've ever killed?
The baddest thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, can't come up with it real quick, can you?
A coyote.
Oh, please, you're such a liar.
You're a liar. You decided you hadn't done anything real manly, and you had to come up with a lie.
I shot deer, but
that's
dangerous.
That takes a lot of guts. Say,
that's what I'm saying.
What does the deer have to fire back at you with?
Go into the woods and blast Bambi.
Please, listen, I'm more of a real man. I am more of an outdoorsman than you will ever be. You can kiss my Field and Stream loving ass. All right? Please.
The debate has been won.
Yeah,
please.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Jesus.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Oh, I was calling to tell you that cutting the fishing line was the best thing to do to get rid of that fish.
Mm-hmm. What is that sound? What is that sound in the background? Hey.
It won't hurt itself.
What was that sound in the background we were listening to? That ding-ding
sound. Oh, I was getting out of my truck. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's like the ding-ding door is open.
Huh. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, well, look, it's only too bad that all of you listeners weren't on the boat with me on Saturday, okay?
Yeah, I'm an avid fisherman. I've been fishing 20 years, man.
All right, well, good. Very good.
Well, that was that it?
There he goes.
Yes, and thanks so much for letting us hear the ding, 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 ding. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, and I like to make love to my fishes when I catch them.
Oh, I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that.
You still should have cut the line, you moron.
Oh, everybody's an expert.
Please. Everybody's a, hey, I will let you got the hook out. That's the
Yeah, I got the hook out. Isn't that safer than cutting a line?
No.
Why? Why would that be? Because I left the fish with absolutely nothing in his mouth. Why would it have been safer to leave the hook in the fish's mouth?
Listen, Don, I'm sorry to awaken you from your slumber. It's over. You had your chance. You should have cut the line.
No, please. I didn't blow it.
You blew it.
I didn't blow it.
You please. Blew it.
Everybody just threatened by the fact that I'm so macho now.
That's right.
Deal with it, man.
Rambo of the sea.
I'm the brawny man. I got to get me a checkered shirt, Robbie. Go get me a checkered shirt.
Checkered shirt and some work boots.
I'm serious. Does Nike make work boots?
Nike.
Because that's what I want.
Soft Nike work boots. Especially soft from Nike.
I make them in pretty colors, Rob. Yeah, I like the pretty colors.
Purple. Purple Nike work boots.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
Yes. Was that the Caddyshack?
Yeah, Rodney's horn.
Okay. All right, thank you. All right, well, listen, it was a mistake for me to try to talk to the amateur sportsman out there.
I know you like the instant feedback, though, and you got some.
Okay, well, listen, we got to do another break, and then I just got a couple more things to tell you about the weekend that have nothing to do with me slaying creatures in the outdoors.
This is the softer, gentler side?
Oh. All the rest of the stories involve stuff that happened inside.
Ah, very good.
Inside, where I'm very comfortable.
Very, very comfortable.
Creature comforts. We will be right back.
We've never had an escape from my camp, only from the zoo.
Transfer me to the zoo?
Good sense of humor, General Crozier. I know you're not laughing, or we have a bad connection.
Yes, sir, it'll all be taken care of. I have got
any new energy from Bill Balderson?
What am I? A zookeeper or the head of a POW camp? He just doesn't understand my problem. It's too easy for him to give orders, and he expects miracles.
He's so
German.
Exactly.
They'll be over here if you need them. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Now, listen, everybody. Big week on the show.
Oh, yes.
$5,000 giveaway that Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis Murphy and his beach babes, as we speak, are sure horny.
The beach bitches, the sand sluts,
they're on their way to Dewey Beach, Delaware right now.
Oh, it's going to be a great week.
For a week of evil living.
Yes, it's going to be exciting.
And you will hear the very first report from the beach house on tomorrow's episode.
Excellent.
Yes. Oh, and did I mention...
And I could continue ringing.
We will be playing strip trivia this week.
Woo-hoo!
Oh, right. And I could continue ringing.
Yeah,
sir.
Trivia. I'm not sure when. Maybe Wednesday, maybe Thursday.
Very, very exciting.
We will start the pimping, though, on tomorrow's episode.
So be ready for solicitations.
Yeah. Yeah, trivia this week. Oh, then we got a Las Vegas-style show next Thursday night.
Yes.
Baltimore at Cancun Cantina.
All right.
And then June 18th, we will be at a location to be announced in Sacramento.
Yes, finally, we are going to do a Las Vegas-style show in a beautiful, sunny Sacramento.
And if you can plan that far ahead, then in July... we're going to be in Washington, D.C. with a Vegas-style show. And also in July, we're going to be in Reno with a Las Vegas-style show.
Very busy summer. The world tour continues.
So we got tons of great stuff coming up on the show. Okay, just a couple more things about my weekend.
Yes.
And then I want to hear about Mike in Vegas.
Right.
I want to hear about Buzz putting on a bachelor party for Daryl Nichols that included hookers.
Strippers.
Hookers.
Strippers.
Hookers.
Hookers?
Hookers.
Hookers or strippers.
That's what I heard.
You remember the difference.
Hookers. First, the weekend, I lost my cell phone, and there is nothing
that is, outside of losing your wallet, right, losing all your credit cards and your driver's license, nothing more maddening than losing the cell phone. And I want to say to whoever has it, I hope you got your nut off, because I'm positive that you, like, called sex lines in Denmark on that card this
sure.
weekend.
Sure.
That's a bitch.
So you carry yours with you all the time? Is
yeah.
You do? Yeah.
Yeah, even though nobody ever calls me.
Right.
I carry it with me. Now, I don't have one of those queer pocket thing.
Where it's clipped to your side.
I don't have one of those.
Like that.
But as it turns out, I should have had one of those, because I just carry it in my pocket. And sometime on Saturday...
You have it on vibration function, so if somebody does call, you would say good feeling?
I don't have a vibration
Oh,
function.
You don't have a vibration
However,
function.
Mine is like yours. I have the queer ring, where it goes... It doesn't just ring. It, like, plays this little faggy song. But I carry it with me always.
Right.
And I guess sometime on Saturday when I was fishing or doing something else, I lost it and didn't realize it until... Yesterday.
Did you report it stolen?
Yeah, I did.
Good.
But not until... I figure I lost it on Saturday.
Right.
And because I was positive that I hadn't lost it, I just left it somewhere.
Do you think it might have fallen out of your pocket when you were killing fish or something?
I don't know. It could have been anything. I went a lot of places this weekend, did a lot of stuff.
Right.
And I had the kids, my son and his friends,
right,
and my wife and my in-laws. I had everybody. I was positive that I had just left the phone either in the car,
right,
or in the house.
So you had the full, the hard target,
yeah,
search of every hen house, outhouse.
Yeah. Absolutely, Tommy Lee. All the way around. And then, my wife said to me, she said on Saturday, she said, you better call them and tell them that you lost the phone.
Right.
And I said, honey, I want to tell you something. I mean, I gave her a super lecture where I said, listen now, that phone, always right here in my pocket. I'm never more than a moment away.
Oh, guys, all men are the same that way. They really are as far as that. Look, I know exactly where I said it.
That's what I said. I said, first off, I wouldn't have gone out on the boat wearing these loose-fitting pants with the phone in there. So I know I didn't lose it on the boat.
Right.
Second, did you pick up my phone by mistake? Because I tried to turn it around on Frida right away.
Sure.
So she goes to her phone, because we have phones that are just alike. But she has, like, a girl sticker on the back. There's, like, a sticker on a flower or something.
Little pink flower.
She goes, no, it's, I've got mine. So then I said, well, you know what? You must have picked it up and put it somewhere. Because I'm positive. I want to tell you something. I mean, I really laid it on her where I said, I don't lose phones. I never lost a phone in my life. Don't call, because that phone will turn up.
Right.
So we waited all afternoon Saturday, all Saturday night. Again,
you were looking for it. At any point, did someone suggest calling the number on the phone so that you could find it because it would be ringing?
That's an excellent idea, but nobody did.
Oh,
nobody thought of that.
And that, have you thought about calling the number at any time?
No, because now I call and canceled it.
Oh, okay.
I waited, though. My wife thinks I'm an idiot because I was so positive I didn't lose it. She said, you should call again Saturday night. She said, just call them and cancel it.
Right.
Some guy is, like, calling Denmark. And I said, honey, it'll show up. Don't worry about it. Sunday, we get up Sunday. She says, you still didn't find the phone. Call and cancel.
Oh, absolutely.
She says, I'm going to call and cancel. I said, listen, it's my business. It's my life. The phone will turn up. Let me do it. So we get Sunday, all day, all night, finally Sunday night. I sheepishly have to go to my wife and say, honey, what's that number where I call to cancel the phone? And as soon as I call and cancel the phone, the first thing the person on the other end, Nokia helpline, I said, yeah, I think I lost my phone. Fine. When did you lose it? I said, sometime yesterday. She goes, I get this. Oh. From the lady on the Nokia line. She goes,
you should have called immediately. Oh, dear.
I said, well, I'm positive that I didn't, I was positive I didn't lose it. So then I had to go through a whole big rigmarole about what might happen if somebody made the calls, and
right,
did we buy the insurance, and of course...
I didn't know that. They make it that tough for you.
You know, I never do that. It's like when I buy a TV or something,
right,
or a microwave, and say, do you want the warranty? I always go,
sure,
you know, hell no.
Forget it.
Just give it to me.
Forget about it.
So now I'm without phone. And that is, that's awful when you're used to having it, to not have it.
No, I mean,
and
it's,
I hate thinking
that it's part of you.
I hate thinking that some bastard out there's got my phone.
Some guy's got his greasy little fingers all over your phone calling all sorts of lies.
Not to mention the fact that I've got all your guys' phone numbers programmed
right
into that thing right
put in
now
automatically. So you never even at this point, you don't have any clue where you might have set it down.
No. I'm so convinced I didn't lose it.
But apparently the world is begging to differ with me. So, you know, that like crushed me all weekend.
Right.
Really, I mean, I was mad about that.
Easily replaceable item, though.
Yeah, easily replaceable, but it was my lucky phone. You know how I am with that.
I understand.
It's like, I got something, it's my lucky whatever it is. Now the world's going to crash around me because I don't have my lucky phone.
Well, the next one you get one of those clips so you can clip it on your belt like those guys do.
Never.
Never!
Never. Those guys look faggy.
I hate those things. I especially hate them on a golf course when I see them on a golf course.
Okay, so we get through all this crap with the telephone. It's about 4 o'clock yesterday, and the kids all said to me, we want to go see Star Wars again. Yeah, well, now I've already seen it, but, you know, none of my family's seen it. None of these kids that were with us seen it.
That's the prime demographic, too, for that movie, is like kids that age.
So, here we go, Star Wars. Now, I immediately, because I'm still believing that the movie's going to make $600 million,
right.
I say to the kids, there's no way we can even get tickets for this movie.
Right.
So I tell you what, let's not go to the theater first. I'm going to call the ticket phone number.
Right.
And then they'll tell me it's sold out, and then we'll find out what else we can do.
Okay.
Well, I call up, and they got the automated Star Wars 4:30 tickets available. So, like, I'm amazed. Right?
Oh, you're very fortunate.
Wow.
You're
right. Kind of disappointed, though, because I thought for sure it would be sold out. But it wasn't sold out. So we get the tickets, and we go to the movie.
You're reaping the benefit of that $40 million shortfall right now.
Yeah, yeah, right. Absolutely, I am. Right. So we go to the movie, and it sucks.
Right.
The movie sucks just as bad the second time as it did the first time, except I think that maybe I'm going to be able to notice other things in the movie, because the first time I went to the screening where, like, people clapped when the Lucasfilm logo came up on screen.
Right.
People clapped when R2-D2 came on and all this stupid stuff. Well, no one was doing that in this theater.
Mm-hmm.
However, this is a problem, and I got into an argument with a woman in the theater because the movie theater was packed, just about sold out, lots of people with kids. Kids that were like maybe 3, 4, 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that little kids want to see the movie.
Mm-hmm.
However, even in a movie like Star Wars, even if I've seen the movie already and I already know it sucks, I don't like little kids talking through the whole movie.
Well, 3, 4, and 5, I think
six
is a little young to go see that.
Well, there were kids in this movie, and not just one kid. I mean, like 100 kids. In the very beginning of the movie when they're, I tell you this part that they like underwater. It's real faking underwater. So
right.
They're flying the ship underwater. All the kids start going, water, water, water. Look, mommy, water. Look, it's city, mommy, water. Water, city. It's a city in the water, mommy. Look, Jar Jar Binks. Jar Jar Binks. Mommy, look. Oh, laser sword. Mommy, look, 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 look. Jar Jar Binks. Jar Jar.
And those are the 18-year-olds.
This is going on. Finally, I turned around, and I just gave the woman the stare, right?
Right.
Just give her the look. She just looks right back at me, and while she's looking at me, she's talking to her kids. She's saying, yes, that's right. Yes, they're underwater. I mean, they're having an out loud conversation. So I keep giving her the hairy eyeball. She keeps talking to her kid. Finally, I said, ma'am, do you mind? We're all here to watch the movie. And then at this point, this is what this lady does. This is the Reston Town Center. This lady says, she stands up and she goes, excuse me, because I had security guards in this theater,
right?
She calls the rent-a-cop over. And she says to the rent-a-cop, this is while the movie's going on.
Right.
She says, this man is bothering us. Now, this is while the movie's going on, meanwhile, now everyone's looking at me. And I said, but listen, this lady's talking to her kids. Her kids are talking throughout the whole movie. The rent-a-cop looks at me and goes, kids like Star Wars.
Right?
So I lose the battle. The rent-a-cop leaves. Everybody gives me a dirty look. And at this point, then my kid and his friends, they say, we want some snacks.
Right.
So I think, okay, it's a great opportunity to leave the hell out of this movie. I'll go wait in the line and get you some snacks. I want to say this, and I mean this sincerely to the people at the Reston Town Center. I am not goofing when I say, why do you have retarded people working at your concession stand? And I don't mean I'm saying retarded like a goof.
Right.
I'm talking like, Warren, have you seen my baseball retarded?
Mm-hmm.
I swear to God to you, there are actually mentally challenged people that are working behind the counter. And during the most business this theater is going to do all year long,
mm-hmm.
I'm standing in this line going, why is this taking 20 minutes to get 4 sodas and 4 popcorns? Well, I realize why when I get up there. When the guy, I say to the guy, I'd like 4 Pepsis and 4 popcorns, please. And the guy goes, okay. And he turns around, and then he looks back to me, and he goes, what did you want?
Uh-huh.
And I mean, the guy looks retarded.
Yeah.
And he was not the only guy that was retarded looking and working at this concession. And I couldn't say anything, like,
you know, what are you, retarded? Because
right.
I thought the guy really was retarded.
You weren't sure, though.
No, I'm sure he was retarded.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't want to hurt his feelings by saying... Right.
Are you retarded?
Are you retarded?
It's an interesting dilemma.
Okay.
It's been my experience that the normal average teenagers sometimes move actually slower than anybody. I mean, it's kind of standard procedure that anybody, if they go into that job, mentally challenged or not, just moves at a different speed. You know, nobody moves at lightning speed.
And I know what you're saying.
Right.
But I'm telling you, I'm not saying this is a goof, and I'm telling you, the theater I went to, Reston Town Center in Reston, Virginia, concession stand on the second floor by
right.
Theater 13, those people, of the five people, two of them really
were challenged,
were retarded.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why. I'm all for retards having jobs, but I don't know why they have to have jobs.
You sound like Matt Dillon in Something
well,
About Mary. Right
I don't
now.
Mean to. I don't know why they have to have jobs where there's such pressure involved.
Mm-hmm.
People wanted to simply get the food items.
Right.
This guy, you know, bless his heart,
mm-hmm.
he could not process
right.
one friggin' thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it was just very frustrating. It's like
very, very difficult.
Not a good day, man.
Very, very. But if you didn't enjoy the movie anymore the second time either.
No, the movie. Oh, I bet the people at the concession stands would enjoy the movie. No, I didn't enjoy it anymore the second time.
Right.
And I was able to figure out to translate some of Jar Jar Binks's jokes.
Right.
The second time I saw it.
Okay.
Here's one of the jokes that I didn't understand the
right.
first time. When he bumps into Liam Neeson, and he says, "Excuse me," you know, like Wayne's World.
Sure.
Instead of saying, "Excuse me," he says, "Excuse me." And when he says this, the place just, everybody belly laughs like it is the funniest joke
sure.
I'd ever heard in their life.
People are dying to be entertained, Don.
Right.
People are dying to be, they're wanting to like that movie.
Movie's ridiculous. movie's just ridiculous. Lady yelled at me and called a rent-a-cop over because her kid was talking to the movie. Then I go out there to get the stuff, and I swear to God, they got a retard working behind the counter.
It was very, very stressful.
Oh, it was not good.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I get back with all the stuff, you know, the kids right away go, my son goes, "Dad, where were you for so long?" Like, I don't want to say anything. And,
right.
You know, if it was just my kid, I would say something like, you know, there's a retarded guy working behind the counter.
Right.
But I didn't want to say anything. I went, well, the line was very long. Where you been so long? At the line? Put him behind the cash register.
Okay. God.
Listen, I mean that.
I know you do.
They slowed down the whole thing. Mandy, you know, how tough is it when you go up there and you go, "I'd like four Pepsis and four Pop," and I'm not the only person that's having this problem.
I have a theory. You can put a Rhodes Scholar into the theater concession business, and by the end of the day, they might be working at a very high rate of speed when they first go in there, but their second or third day working in that theater, they're going to be working in reverse. I think the highest IQs in the world, there is something that happens to everyone when you go into a movie theater where you actually go into a...
I know what you're saying, but
right.
I'm telling you, go to the theater, go to the second floor concession stand, and you tell me what you think.
Okay.
These people are qualified, and how tough is it?
I'll be there this evening.
How tough is it? Four Pepsis, four popcorns. Guy looks at me like I said, "Please recite the Declaration of Independence." The guy, and then when he goes up to the cash register,
right.
he has to call somebody over to go, "Four Pepsis." And I'm looking over the cash register, and I see, they got it, like, so that an idiot could figure out, it says Pepsi, they got
right.
the little logos.
Right.
So all the guy has to do is push on the pretty Pepsi logo, but
mm-hmm.
the guy couldn't figure out which logo to press.
Well, probably a lot of people in there playing with their fingers, too.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just telling you, that's a bad theater to go to a movie, too. That was a bad experience yesterday. Very bad.
Bad, very bad.
Very bad. And then after that, I've got one more thing to say about the weekend. After that, went home, sitting down, all the kids are gone, they can go to chill out now, gonna watch the 60 Minutes show, and that is when my mother-in-law decided to watch 60 Minutes with us, and last night they did a Y2K story on 60 Minutes.
Your mother-in-law in the house.
In the house.
There you go.
In the house.
In the house.
My mother-in-law absolutely panicked. Because they did a show last night on 60 Minutes.
They did the alarmist show of alarmist shows.
They did a show that was based on the District of Columbia.
Yes.
In which I don't live. My mother-in-law doesn't live. Nobody in the family lives in the district.
Right.
But, as my mother-in-law pointed out, I'm only 12 miles from the District of Columbia.
Yes, and they centered on the District of Columbia as the Y2K, the disaster epicenter.
Mm. They made
Y2K sound like? You're going to have rioting. You're going to have martial law. You're going to have the National Guard called out.
Right.
You're going to have no water.
They really, and the lady that is doing most of this panicking is the lady that's hired to fix all the Y2K problems that they have in the district.
That's right. And it was just after everything else I'd been through that day. That was the last thing I wanted to hear.
You didn't need a panic?
When my mother-in-law says, how late is Walmart open? And I said, it's 7:30. I said, I don't know. I say, why? What do you need? Water. She says, that water you drink all the time, that Evian, how many bottles are in a case of that? She wanted to go to Walmart
right
last night to start buying water for Y2K. And the more I was talking with her,
right.
I'm getting all worked up again about it. I realize I'm getting into a debate with my mother-in-law about Y2K, and I'm saying to her, listen,
she does have 3 or 4 months to get that water.
I said, Grandma, you are the target audience
right.
for 60 Minutes. And I'm trying to find a nice way to say, listen, they make the show for older people like you, and they make it like this to scare you older people.
Time to panic.
Oh, my God. She was nuts. I mean, she seriously.
Why don't you go to Walmart in the middle of the night to.
to get her water.
Oh, my God.
And then she started saying, like, well, how much money are you going to take out of the bank?
Right.
I said, I'm not going to take any money out of the bank. The banks are saying. She said, well, no. District of Columbia. I said, Grandma, I don't live in the District of Columbia. She said, well, they said that they might be rioting at the Safeway. I said,
oh,
Grandma,
my God.
Oh, please. Oh, my God.
They have contingency plans.
It was.
Yes, they do.
It was just nutty.
It's, I don't blame.
Thanks, 60 Minutes.
Yeah, I don't blame your Grandma. I blame 60 Minutes for this. Big Freed is not at fault here. It is 60 Minutes for pandering to all those people that are freaking out. It's going to make more of those survivalists stock up and, with their freeze-dried food and their shotgun shells.
You know who's going to survive?
Who?
The retards that work at the movie theaters.
And Cher.
They'll make it through anyway.
Cher will make it through, too.
Okay. So that's all I have. That's all I have. Fortunately, I was able to watch the Michael Landon movie last night.
That brought you right back down to a peaceful mode.
That mellowed me right out.
I made my weekend, too.
That mellowed me right out.
Michael Landon being a nasty father. Wow.
I was with TV.
Who'd have thunk it?
Now, well, I'm going through all of this. The outdoors life.
Yes.
The problem with the Star Wars movie.
Mm-hmm.
You, Mr. Big Shot.
Yes.
Living the fancy life.
My wife and I had a very good weekend.
Good. Free HBO trip.
Yes.
To Las Vegas for the Oscar De La Hoya fight.
A whirlwind 22 hours in Las Vegas, Nevada.
I did not see you on the TV. I watched it on Saturday night and was not able to see you.
Well, that might be because, I don't want to point fingers at anybody because it was a wonderful trip and I was very happy about everything that happened. But when they came and said to us that we would have ringside seats, they might have overstated it just a little bit.
So you mean you were nowhere near Tony Curtis, who was the only celebrity that I saw.
I was about 4 rows up from the floor, which is pretty darn close.
It's not bad.
But I was, there was no room for peons like me because this was a star-studded. I mean, I've got a list of celebrities that were there in order of, not in order of importance as much as in order of the closeness that we got to them. And what it was during the undercards, not as much watching the fight, which was very cool to be that close, as watching the parade of people come in. And it was pretty funny to watch. It really was because there were a lot of famous people there, including famous people who made personal contact with me and personal contact with my
wife. Beautiful. Any retards working in the hotel?
No, not at all. No.
Well, then time out. When we come back,
there's something about Mary.
People who touch that theater. We come back, we'll hear about Mike in Vegas right after this.
And howdy to all the girls out there in Radio Land.
Stay tuned for your chance to win $5,000. Coming up only on the Don and Mike Show.
The big giant head is very unhappy.
Be sure to thank them for their service to our country.
You're welcome, Don and Mike.
So you get the free trip. We flip the coin. I've got the free trip to go to Vegas for the weekend, courtesy of HBO.
Whirlwind trip, 22 hours in Las Vegas, Nevada. And it started out Saturday morning with a very early flight. And I just want to get this off my chest. I want to say it to every flight attendant that might be listening, okay?
Okay.
There's no real big problem at all, wasn't it? It's just something.
Were they retarded or something?
No, they weren't. No, they weren't. But I'll tell you this right now, that The early morning cocktail. I'm not having it because I like to drink at that hour. I am having it because I am terrified to be on a plane. And right. So when we sat down,
did you not get your hooch or something?
No, we got our hooch. I got I used frequent flyer miles to upgrade in the first class.
Right.
So we were very excited about that. We sit down in a brand new airplane, which was very, very cool. Like lots of modern stuff. I kept saying that too.
So modern.
Look at how modern this is. Like modern little seat things that you know where you can control the seat and. It was just different. It was like all modern.
Cool.
Including one of those little, the foot-down screens. You know, it's one of the, you've been on planes like this before where they have the automatic foot-down screens. They just seemed more modern.
Fancy.
So I was excited. And so we were very, very excited to be on this plane. And the church lady who was our flight attendant was very, very nice. But I'm very self-conscious when I sit down in that plane and I order my traditional pre-takeoff beverage, and I'd like to make it as smooth and almost unnoticeable as possible. I've tried to concoct that funny little thing of saying I'd like a double or a double Bloody Mary, but then it went to I'd like a tomato martini. Ha ha ha! What's that? And it's a very quick exchange. Okay. Well, I'm sitting next to my wife, who is kind of the teetotaler of teetotalers, which sometimes can be a little irritating.
It's a track, Mike.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. And so I said I decide I'm not going to have a Bloody Mary. I said I'm going to have a little vodka tonic too. Take the edge off before I take off because I'm not phobic in like I have to get off the plane, but as you will testify to, I am nervous and very, very
and you get all wound up
before
there's no doubt
take off.
About it.
Once we get airborne, I'm okay. Yeah. If there's no problem, I'm okay.
You know how I goofed with Mike like about how the plane's going to crash and stuff before I go somewhere?
Right.
I could never do that on the day we fly. On the day we fly, I just go, hey, buddy.
Right.
How you doing? And I wait until you get your medicine.
You're
and
wonderful. I mean,
once you get your medicine,
you're a pleasure to fly with.
Once you get your medicine,
you're
a pleasure to fly with.
You know me. I've accommodated you in the fact that I don't babble incessantly like I used to do when we'd fly and we'd, go all the way across the country.
I don't get the TPSs from you.
That's right. The tedious plot summaries that I used to do on a regular basis. She does the one thing, and it's happened maybe twice, but she did it more than anyone should. And I said, I'd like a double vodka tonic before takeoff. And she takes this big deep breath. And it's a small plane. So it's a very small little group up there. And she goes, she sighs and is looking at me. And my wife starts to smirk. And I'm already, I'm just going. And then she looks at her watch and she says, whoa, really? And I said, I'm a little nervous, player. I can't do that. And I'm like, I'm about to, you know how I am. Jokes are sailing over my, I'm not going to get a joke. And I'm about to really go into the, you can't what? Because I can't believe it. She says, I'm just kidding. I'll bring it right back. And every time, I suppose you're going to want another one when we get airborne, huh? And at this point, I'm sure that everybody in the cockpit is looking over, hey, look at Johnny Alcohol over in Cena. So it's just for flight attendants. If somebody at the early hour, where she had to check her watch.
I've been with you.
Just because I've tried hypnotism.
You get no pleasure out of the drinks you have before you fly.
I tried. Thank you. Yes, I know it doesn't sound credible. I can't help it. But I'm saying I've tried everything. This is what I do, and along with many other flyers. And when a flyer is ordering that at that particular hour, it is not because he has some problem. He's doing that simply because I am terrified.
I would think
that I want to feel calmer.
If you were a guy that had a problem, you probably would have had the drink in the bar before you got on the airplane.
But it's Dulles Airport, and Dulles Airport, for whatever Dulles Airport in ever, their ye old colonial wisdom doesn't have anything yet. You can get, you can wait in line 7 days at Starbucks Coffee to get a latte, mocha, java, whatever, but they don't have any at that hour. Nothing open.
Oh.
I think they open at 12 noon.
Have you ever thought about BYOB?
Yes, I have. And the next time I might do that. But this time I was counting on getting the frequent flyer miles to get to the front of the plane.
And your upgrade.
And there's only, as far as I'm concerned, there is only one reason to fly first class. No other reason. I don't care about the seat size.
You can get booze.
Absolutely. That is the single, that is the only reason why I would really, when we're in an airport, I will do anything. I will say anything. I will do anything to see if we can get into the first class compartment. It's just the way I do it. So we get out there. We have a wonderful flight. We watch a great movie, which you've probably already seen, A Civil Action with John Travolta and Robert Duvall.
Good movie. Real good.
A fantastic movie. Best movie I've seen on an airplane in 5 years.
You know one thing that pissed me off on an airplane, though? Did they clean it up? Did they take, like, a cuss word out and stuff?
Yes, which is very tedious.
Isn't that awful?
It's very annoying, and it's also annoying when you always have E.R. Poindexter, and there's always one guy on the plane who has his light on, his map light, which is showing directly onto his tedious business plan for whatever job he's going to do, but he insists on leaving the little windows open. He is not looking out the window. He's in the aisle seat. The window seat is completely empty. And, you know, I say to Laura, I said, would you mind asking him, being the big man I am? But she was closest to the guy. And it's also, you know, it's Laura. And she's got a better chance.
You got a better chance to get the window shut if a girl asks rather than if a guy asks.
So Laura leans over and says, after like 5 minutes of me saying, just ask him to put down the window, please. I can't see the fancy new modern thing. And so she finally leans over, and all he would have had to do was reach to his left and lean over a little bit to put down the windows. But Laura, I felt so bad that I even asked her, because she leans over and says, excuse me. Takes his little granny glasses up and says, yes, would you please put down the shades? And he's like, okay. Gets up out of his seat. There's no
unnecessary
reason. No reason, all right? Gets up out of his seat, goes, puts all of his legal books, that's what they look like, law books that he was with, put them on the seat, leans over, puts the window shades down halfway. On both ones.
Oh, what an SOB.
And he puts them down halfway on both. And, you know, it improved a little bit. But we watched the movie. We had a really nice flight out there. We get into Las Vegas, 10:30 Vegas time. And
Saturday morning.
Right. And we can see the Mandalay Bay Hotel, which is where the fight was, and that's where we were going to stay. We can see that.
Straighten your glasses up.
Sorry.
I can't look at you with your glasses. I get a kooky angle.
Whatever. I was doing my wacky impression of the guy in the seat next to us, you know. And so we can see the hotel from the airport. It is walking distance from the tarmac. I mean, it was incredible. And I said, hey, this is going to be great. We're going to be in the hotel in no time. So the good folks at HBO, who provided me with this great trip, had given me a booklet for everything. You know, to the transfers to the hotel, how to get to the hotel. And it looked like maybe it would be a $4 cab ride. But we decided, hey, you know, we've got the little transfer. You know, you rip the little piece of paper off and you hand it to the guy. We might as well use the shuttle. So we get onto the shuttle.
That's a mistake. I know.
We can see the hotel. I don't know how he did it, how he managed to do this, but from the time he picked us up until the time we got into the hotel, they dropped us off at the hotel, 45 minutes. He went all the way down to the last hotel on the strip and dropped everybody off all the way along the way. If he had dropped us off, we went by the hotel. We went cruising by the hotel, and I'm like, and Laura's like, come on, stop it. You know, because you know, as I need the medicine to take off,
yeah,
and then I calm down, and then I stop the medicine probably
the medicine
2 hours
worn
before
off,
the land,
right.
And so the medicine is worn. I'm always just,
for God's sake, we just went by the hotel.
We get back to the hotel. Everything's fine. We have a little, you know, it's an awful lot of travel for a very brief period of time, but we walk around. We go to that New York, which is the big casino where they have, like, Coney Island and stuff like that.
I saw one of Will Smith's videos there.
Yeah,
right.
It's very, but I'll tell you something. It is filled with real New Yorkers. I think that they do come to Las Vegas and they stay there
because it's just like New York. So they were all over the hotel. New Yorkers everywhere.
But the neat thing they have in there, they have a carnival like Coney Island where you can win, like, stuffed animals. And because it's in a casino, and they want people to lose millions of dollars in their casino, they also want you to have a pleasant experience when you go into the carnival. So all the stuff like shoot the squirt the water in the clown's mouth,
yeah,
and like roll the balls and win.
they could give a rat's butt. They want you to win.
So would you load up on the free animals?
We loaded up because you know, we've got a 5-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 2-year-old back at the house that you know that we really want to, you know,
Wait, hold on. Where'd you get the 2 extra kids from?
My sister-in-law's kids.
Oh, okay. You know,
and she's staying with our kids while we're gone. So we go in there and we sat down at the roll the ball game, you know, where you roll the balls in
ski ball.
Ski ball and no, it's not ski ball, it's the one where you roll the balls into the hole to get the cars to move.
Oh, right, okay.
Great game. I used to sit at the beach all the time, right?
Yeah.
And we went to like 4 of these games where it was just my wife and I playing against each other, and we won stuffed animals, and they didn't care. And so we're walking out, you know, like happy, like, look at this, and we've got the bags.
The Griswolds.
it's like $8, and we have 2 of these things stuffed with stuffed animals, and we haven't had
the animals are worth, what, about $4?
Well, right. don't let the children play with them too much, because they'll have all sorts of toxic things in them, probably, right. Something when they pull them apart.
And it'll great fire hazards, right?
Not at all. Maybe I should not have brought them on the plane. But it was that was the afternoon. We kind of messed around there, went back, caught a little nap, and then it was time to get ready to go to the fight. And we brought our go-to-the-fight fancy clothes.
Did you wear a tux?
No. There were some guys in tuxes there, but I brought that, you know, that sport coat that I wear all the time?
Your gold
coat? That gold sport coat. And I was going to wear a blue shirt with like kind of a silvery gold tie to really look kind of Vegas-y and show business. And so I go into the closet and I open the closet up where I hung my shirt up and I look and it seriously looked like someone had taken tar and put it on the, I don't know how it happened. It was in my stuff, so it must have been something in my suitcase. So we had the moment where, well, I'm not going to be able to look really dressy. I'm going to have to go down and like get a golf shirt or something to wear to the fight. So as I go down and I'm walking through the casino to get to this little store, I see this commotion over in the corner. And it's Dennis Rodman. People following Dennis Rodman.
Oh, really? What a shocker! Dennis Rodman was in Vegas.
And then I've got another story about Dennis Rodman when we left, which was just very unique and very cool.
Hold on. So this will break. Okay. And then when we come back, we'll hear about all the celebrities.
I'll
hear
about all the celebrities, and one little story about the incredible bargain basement price if you want to buy a shirt at the Mandalay Bay Hotel.
Beautiful. All right. While we wait for that. Tapping, touch toes, we got them for you right there at Caller 100 time. A prize package that we've carefully selected especially for you. Another chance to win $5,000 at your Caller 100 right now in the toll-free at 1-800-636-1067.
And when it comes to celebrities, I will just tell you, as far as celebrity sightings, I have somewhere between 15 and 20 at this fight.
Okay, give us the best of the best.
The very best?
The very best.
The top of the heap?
Who is number one? Tell us who the least...
I'll tell you who the lamest is, and I'll tell you who the top is.
Good.
And then these are not people that I had personal contact with. These are just people that I saw. Some of them I had personal contact with. But these are just people I saw.
Okay, who's the lamest?
I'll give you the top of the list first.
All right.
The number one guy would probably be Kevin Costner.
That's pretty top of the line.
That's pretty top.
Now, did you have any contact with him?
Yes.
Oh, you did. Okay, good. Yeah. And who's the lowest?
Bottom of the barrel? Mr. David Brenner.
He could. You could be much lower than David.
Yeah, that's the. Yeah, I'm looking at the list too.
You had contact with Kevin Costner.
What's that? Well, yeah. I mean, I was on the other side of my wife. My wife had personal contact with him.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, but
so do you know.
Yeah,
really. Your wife banged Kevin Costner?
Yes, she did.
Okay, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Something that's more age appropriate.
Here you go. You won tickets to WCW Monday Nitro.
All right. Okay.
Who knows?
Even better.
Perhaps another wrestler will fall from the ceiling and crack his head wide open.
That was a big deal over the weekend.
At the MCI Center, June 14th, see Goldberg, Sting, Nature Boy, Ric Flair, Randy Savage, many others. Everybody else for tickets, call 202-432-SEAT. But wait. There's more.
I just realized I've got to put another celebrity on my list.
Wait, there's more. You've also qualified to win $5,000 that we're giving away this Friday.
That's even greater.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I feel like I'm back at the movie theaters.
Yeah.
This is the $5,000 we're giving away courtesy Advantage Title. If you're thinking about buying a house or refinancing your mortgage, please insist on Advantage Title. 1-800-573-7770. And don't forget, you got to be listening on Friday to win the $5,000, okay?
Okay.
Beautiful. Hold on, please.
Thank you.
Hold on, please.
Yeah. I would like four large Pepsis and four popcorns, please. Just press the little button that says Pepsi on your cash register.
It says 100% guaranteed, you moron.
Okay, so you were in Vegas.
Yeah,
now
I got an celebrity wrestler, because everybody told me I didn't recognize the guy, but everybody around me said, Mr. Perfect.
Mr. Perfect?
I don't know, but he's come up asking this guy for an autograph. He had bleached blonde hair, a fluorescent blue suit, and a yellow tie with a white shirt. And there we go. That's Mr. Perfect.
That's very similar to the outfit you had on, except for the bleached hair.
Exactly.
Tell us first about the celebrities you didn't have contact with, and then the celebrities you did.
All right. I got the list here, and I'm going to mess it up if I don't put it like in the sequence it's supposed to go. I go down to get this shirt, and I walk into this store, and I'm very, very rushed to get up there so we can, because people are starting to pour into this fight. And it starts, they open the gates at 4:30 Las Vegas time, and the big fight is at 7 o'clock, which is the De La Hoya fight. So I walk in, and I said, hey, I just need like a black shirt, and I look over, and I see this short sleeve, like a kind of t-shirt thing. You know, it looks like a t-shirt, but it's a kind of a nicer t-shirt. And this guy's, oh, yes, sir, no problem. Very good. We'll help you with that. This is good. This is perfect. I said, yeah, you're kind of a gold sport coat, and my shirt got messed up. He said, yeah, this looks good on you. And I said, hey, man, for a t-shirt, this guy is really, really treating me nice. This is terrific. So he says, you want to try it on? I said, yeah, I'll probably try it on. And I said, yeah, it looks like it fits, so that's okay. I'll take that. And last thing I said, just how much is that? And he said, $375. And I said, it came out of my mouth. I didn't mean, he didn't get mad because he laughed. Thank God. But it came out of, I said, F you. Like right there immediately. I said, I did. It was an automatic $375. And I respectfully said, he laughed. He said, oh, you did not expect it to be that much? I said, no. I don't think anybody would expect it. So I left and I went to another store where I paid an outrageous amount of money for a golf shirt. But it was, it was like one third of what that thing, but it was still too much money. So I go up, and as I'm coming back, as I'm racing back from the expensive store, going all the way across the casino floor, I immediately recognize this guy who's directly in front of me. And right before I get a chance to talk to him, they descended on him. But it's the old movie star, Tony Curtis.
I told you when I was watching the fight looking for you,
right?
He's the only celebrity that I spotted in the crowd, and he sat there stone-faced for the entire fight.
When we got to the fight, I was really, I could have reached out and tapped him on the shoulder, and I was going to say something, but it was so crowded, and he got so mobbed so quickly when he got recognized that I moved past it. I would have had to wait in line to say anything to him.
Tony, does your daughter have a penis and a vagina?
That's the question I would have asked.
Here, she's a hermaphrodite.
Yeah, he was wearing like this black jacket with this huge like wing collar that I, you know, like specially designed
like
collar.
Nipsey Russell or something?
Yeah, and he had the silver wig. And, you know, he could have reached up and it really was an obvious thing where you could have reached up and grabbed the wig and that would have been the abominable Dr. Fives underneath it. But so I race up to the room. We get ready. We go to the fight, and as we sit down to watch the fight, immediately, the parade of celebrities starts coming in, and I was absolutely blown away. And I listed them in order of the people we were furthest away from, but the people we saw. And the first one, the first guy that comes walking in is Dan Marino. Dan Marino surrounded by an entourage.
They've met him before.
Jim Brown, football player, Hall of Fame Jim Brown.
Right.
Dennis Rodman.
Right.
David Schwimmer from Friends comes in.
Oh, Friends, buddy.
Then Melanie Griffith and Antonio Banderas come walking.
Wow. They didn't show any of those people during the crowd scenes.
They announced them when they're there, which is kind of cool, too. You know, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the star of the upcoming film. You know, it's all choreographed, and they're all there because they're going to. The one thing, I'm just telling you the things I observed, and I feel like a gossip columnist, but Melanie Griffith and Antonio Banderas supposed to be all real lovey-dovey, right?
Right.
And they just didn't seem all that happy to me. They seemed like they were leading separate but equal lives. He kind of went his separate way, and she was talking to everybody, and then they said something to each other, because we're four rows up from the floor, and you're far enough away where you can stare
and not be noticed.
And not be noticed. Right. If they were in the middle of the pack. So they just seemed to kind of go their separate ways.
What do her boobs look like?
She looked fine. She looked thin with great boobs.
Great boobs. Okay.
But then again, I was four rows back, so it was, it was cool to see her. LL Cool J, he was there.
He's lower than David Brenner.
He's lower than Mr. Perfect. So I mentioned that. Then David Letterman. David Letterman was there.
Really?
Yeah. Watched him, but he was mobbed, and they moved him to where Tony Curtis was sitting, was down in front of us in the front row, And Letterman was over on the other side. So when he came in, got a glimpse of him, and then they hustled him down into the other section. And I saw nothing of Letterman for the rest of the night.
Hey, buddy, it's your old pal Dave. Listen, you've never been funnier than you've been this morning. Either that or I'm all goofy on Pop-Tarts.
No personal contact. Then another guy comes in and literally walked right in front of us, and he was mobbed too, and had his head shaved. He was completely cue ball. Woody Harrelson. Woody Harrelson came on.
Oh, boy, thank you for supporting Earth Day.
Yeah, thank you for supporting Earth Day. And he came in, and I kind of rolled my eyes because he was, I mean.
He have an attitude?
It seemed like he had an
entourage.
He had an entourage, and he was mobbed. I mean,
Posse.
Mobbed. And then, and I didn't mention this because we saw them as soon as we walked in. Drew Carey and Jennifer Tilly, you know, Bride of Chucky.
Hey, those are two good celebrities.
And I think it's just my observation. I was watching them for a long time, watching them longer than any other celebrities. They seem to be an item. But she...
Maybe he's banging her.
She wins the award for wanting to get noticed more than any other celebrity. She had a laugh. You know, we were relatively close, but not that close. You could hear, I'm sure you could hear her in the balcony. You could hear her in the top seats up there because she would do this... And then the head would be on a swivel, and then right before the main event.
Well, Drew Carey is very funny.
He's a very funny man. He was there with another guy, looked like his agent, and Jennifer Tilly. They were all hanging out.
What did her boobs look like?
She was, I'll tell you, you could see them, because she had the push-up bra and the huge cleavage, but looked a little chunky in my opinion.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, a little chunky, and right before the fight with the main event, the De La Hoya fight, she did one of these deals where she had disappeared and then did a walk-in. And it was obviously designed to, you know, CNBC.
Look at me.
One of those deals. And so Drew Carey, I'm watching him, and I'm watching Jennifer Tilly, because when the fight started, too, she sat next to those guys, and they were together. Saw Drew Carey at the post-fight party later on. And then James Woods and Wesley Snipes came walking.
Well, those are two pretty cool guys.
Was
pretty heavy hitters.
I didn't watch any of the undercard because, I mean, we were sitting there the entire time and all we were doing is watching celebrities come walking in.
I love Wesley Snipes. What was he like?
Now, well, what they were doing, and I'm not sure, when James Woods and Wesley Snipes came walking in, they had a camera crew, and it was not a video camera, it was a film camera that was on the guy's shoulder, and it looked to me like maybe they were shooting a scene for a movie because they were walking in kind of like Slicky Boys, but it looked to me like they were shooting a scene from a movie because they did it twice. They walked in twice, and there were all these people running around pointing at the in different directions. And then that was James Woods, Wesley Snipes, and then Kevin Costner came walking in, and it was a big deal about Kevin Costner. Afterwards, we went to the post-fight party, which we didn't think we were going to be able to get tickets to, but then we at the last second we got tickets. I bump into a friend of mine coming out of the fight from the Washington area, and after the fight, I'm talking to him, and I said, so, are you going to the, I'm trying to be a big shot, right? I'm saying, are you going to the post-fight party? It's at the House of Blues. It's going to be a pretty neat event. And he said, no, we're going to go to dinner. We didn't have any. And I said, I'm sorry. I wish you could go, but, I only have two tickets. No sooner did I get that out of my mouth that one of these guys that's handing out cards hands a card to me and this guy, and on the card it says, House of Blues, ladies get in free. At 11
So anybody can go.
That's what I thought. Well, and that's what this guy thought as he went off to dinner. Well, it was 11 o'clock that they were going to do that, but it was still relatively early Vegas time, and it was an exclusive party that we got into. We got into this party, and the celebrities started to come in. So we go to this little bar in the corner of the House of Blues, and I immediately meet a friend who was not famous at all. He was some, like, attorney in Los Angeles, and I was like, hey, how are you? And I start talking to him. Laura wants me to get her a pen from the bartender so she can get an autograph if possible. No sooner did the pen get into her hand, I turn to the left, and Kevin Costner comes up to the bar and is shoulder to shoulder standing next to my wife and talking, not, you know, with his back to my wife because he's talking to his model girlfriend that he is with. And, you know, the only little scuttlebutt I can tell you is that Kevin Costner was doing Shooters. He did some Shooters with this model. And I said, you know, Laura's looking at me. I said, go ahead. Go ahead. Ask him for an autograph. So he turns around. She finally gets his attention. Said, could I have your autograph? He's like, yeah, sure. But he's kind of like being, hey. But, you know, I'm sure he gets bothered all the time. So she...
Maybe your wife should have shown him her boobs.
He was next to this model. He seemed to be... You know how the celebrities... We've seen celebrities do this where they go into that crouch, where they're sitting at the bar and he is 2 inches away from his model girlfriend. They do this
so that they don't have to make eye contact with anybody else.
Because there was a guy, there was an old, like, 90-year-old man in Bacalora who wanted an autograph right as soon as, and I felt kind of bad at that point. And so she held out the program, and it was, she had a regular pen, and he said, oh, I can't sign that, it's too shiny. And so she took out a regular piece of paper that was inside that had the fight card on it.
Right.
And he wrote, Kevin Costner, with love.
Oh.
But you know what? I will do. I can duplicate the autograph because this is exactly what it looks
okay.
like.
Okay.
With love, you can read, but this is
okay.
It.
Let me see it.
I swear to God, that is the autograph.
It is a K.
That's the I don't care autograph.
It is a K with a straight line and a C with a straight line, and then with love underneath it, which was kind of cool. Now later on, when we were standing in another section, a very you know the deal where somebody's talking to somebody looking back. And my wife's 4'10" and a half, and so she comes up to, you know, hear on people. James Woods almost knocked her over when that was the only other contact.
That would have been a great lawsuit.
It would have been a terrific lawsuit, but she kept her balance. I said, why didn't you hit the floor?
Hit the floor, he's a major star, for God's sake.
But he looked, for an older guy, you know, he's like 52, 53 years old, remarkably good shape, better looking than I would have ever dreamed he would look in person.
Really? You think they ugly him up in the movies?
I don't know what they do, but he looked, you know, he had kind of white, the white silver hair happening, and I think he was, I think they were doing a movie, because he just, he looked like he might have had some makeup on, but he looked real good. And then Drew Carey was at this party, too. I was really kind of blown away, because, I mean, there were so many celebrities, and then, I forgot to list this other slide, our favorite fight announcer came walking in.
Oh, that guy, that dick?
Yes, three, Jim Lampley.
Oh, I thought you meant the Michael Buffer guy.
No. He was, I was like 2 inches away from him at one point during this party, too, but the guy, Lampley, came walking in, and, you know, this is also as I'm feeling, I'm having some quiet conversation with friends of mine, I'm feeling
you're
really
having more medicine for anybody that was listening earlier.
Well, that was fun medicine, too. That wasn't plain fear medicine. It was pretty amazing. Drew Carey can put the food away. That was why I was, you know, you stare. What you do is
shocker.
Yeah, I mean, he's up there at the buffet line and eating the shrimp and just kind of going nuts. And it was fun to watch him. And we were waiting for George Foreman, and he never showed up. I really wanted to meet George Foreman, but we ended up having to leave. But it was close contact with Kevin Costner, close contact with Drew Carey, close contact with
that's pretty great.
With James Woods. It was a mind blower of celebrity.
That's
activity.
A lot of celebrity sightings.
Yeah, it really was. It was really, really exciting, and I want to thank, I guess, HBO for providing us with those tickets and the tickets to the fight. I wish I remember the guy's name that did all this, but real nice guy, and they treated us really nicely. And but it was so embarrassing because when I thought this was going to be an exclusive party, and of course I bragged about it. No sooner had I done that, the guy answers, "Girls get in free after 11 o'clock," and I was like, "Oh," and this guy doesn't miss a beat. He says, "Hey, it looks real exclusive. I'll see you later." And I was just like, "Oh yeah, lucky me." But it was, plane ride the next morning at 7:50. We're off, and we had a great time. It was very, very exciting.
No such problems on the way back as you had on the way out?
No.
Okay.
No, actually, even, you know, I must say that I kind of low-keyed it on the way back. 7:50 and the night before, it was, you know.
Just so I know, too much day.
7:50 is not okay.
8:20.
But 8:20.
No, 7:50. 7:50 would be okay if it wasn't the morning after the night before.
Oh, I got you.
Absolutely.
So you still have
6:30 would be okay if it wasn't the night after.
All right.
5 a.m. would be fine. It doesn't matter. You can start any time after midnight.
It's early morning flight.
That's right. You know, as far as, you know, you get to that 6 a.m. mark and you're before then, it's still nighttime.
Oh, right. I got you.
Look at that. But, you know, I'd like to thank my good friends Kevin, James Woods, Drew Carey, and, you know, David Letterman, David Schwimmer, all my buddies that I was having over the weekend. And, you know, I was going to feel bad about not being on the floor, specifically ringside. But, first of all, Mr. Perfect was in the row in front of us. So I felt a little better about that. And when you saw the celebrities, you understood why. I mean, they can't put the DJ. They had so many celebrities pouring into this thing. And Tony Curtis's wife really looked like 25 years old.
Really?
90 years.
Really?
Hey, how you doing, pal? You know what? Your brand of comedy reminds me of my mom's mashed potatoes. Yeah. Lumpy and tasteless.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks, Dave.
You're good people, Dave.
Your friend, David Letterman.
All my good celebrity friends, Costner and Letterman.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
you're killing me. The Don and Mike Show.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
That's what I hear. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I got to tell you, Don, I bow to you. I saw the crappy Star Wars film this weekend, and I want to humbly apologize for not believing you.
All right, thank you. Told you that movie blows.
There
you
go. Dude, I am so sorry. It was such a kid's movie, and I wanted to throw up, and I wanted to beat the crap out of the guy that sold me the ticket. It was horrible dog crap.
But then everybody would have the respect, you know, give you the respect you're entitled to when they call
this movie. I apologize to the show, and please, if you're out there, I know that you might lose a bet because of the statement, but that movie is a piece of crap.
Yeah, I told you.
And it's horrible, and I just want to throw up and kill myself.
All right, thank you, sir.
I love you, though.
No, love you. Thank you.
Well,
takes a big man to call and admit that I was right. Thank you, sir.
And you know what? I thought maybe you're wrong, and maybe I'm going to take a chance here. I'm going to have low expectations. And you know what? Jar Jar's a fag.
I don't doubt that.
He's a fag, and I'd like to do bad things to him with a stick.
Yeah, okay.
That's where he'd like to stand for the entire half hour, too.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, I'd like to tell them about Mr. Perfect's real little Kurt.
Will you describe Mr. Perfect to me so I can make sure that this was Mr. Perfect who was sitting in front of me?
He's got blonde hair, kind of,
like, really, like, golden blonde, bleach
yes.
blonde, right?
Yes, and he,
Is it in a ponytail?
Yes, usually it's in a ponytail.
Okay.
And, he kind of, like, has a face like a pug dog.
Yes, that's him.
How come it couldn't have been him falling from the ceiling in Kansas City?
Oh, God.
Why didn't it have to be that other guy?
He's been doing terrible in WCW lately.
Really? Well, he had a beautiful, like, royal blue suit on.
Yeah, he wore that when he was helping Eric Bischoff at a pay-per-view.
Lots of wrestlers there. They're like, in our section, it was just wall-to-wall wrestlers, and they can put the beer away.
His name now is Kurt Hennig.
All right, thank you. Hold on. Here's a guy from Vegas who has news about Wesley Snipes, who you saw. Our friend Wes Snyder. Hello, Jim.
Morning, guys.
Hey, buddy.
Morning. Listen to me. It was actually in the paper this morning that they were filming crowd scenes for a movie that they were filming at Mandalay Bay. Boxing movie or something.
Called it right, Mike.
Cool. That's cool. Very, very cool.
You called it right.
Yeah, they did when they walked in twice, I figured they weren't doing it for their health. They were doing it to shoot a movie. And they looked movie-rific. They really did.
Want to call Wes?
Yeah, let's call his phone number.
I'll say hi. Hey, sorry we couldn't get together at the Mandalay Bay.
We've called Wesley Snipes many times, and a lot of times when we call Wesley Snipes, he pretends that he's not Wesley Snipes.
That's true. Very exciting. Only wish I'd had real personal contact and not just a gawker like everybody else.
I'll break the ice for you.
Tony Curtis, biggest round of applause of all the celebrities that came in there. I don't understand why.
What's wrong with people?
Bigger round of applause when he put his 10-gallon hat on, too.
Tony Curtis is a nobody, man.
Instead of having a daughter that has a penis and a vagina.
And he did the best walk-in, too, acknowledging the crowd, which we enjoyed from the peon seats.
Calling Wesley Snipes.
I bet we get his machine.
Almost did it like a Roman emperor when he was walking.
The new number to leave a message. 310.
Okay.
Gonna be for a little while, and this number will soon be disconnected. So, write it down. Write it down. All right. And,
so chatty.
You'll catch up with me. 310.
Robbie, call that back off the air and get Mr. Snipes' new phone number.
Very good. Excellent.
I'll leave my message on this new machine.
Write it down.
It was for all celebrities. You got to change that number. You make sure you put the number on your answering machine.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Although, you know what? I would put Wesley Snipes in the category of Shirley MacLaine. Celebrities who know we have their phone numbers.
Right.
And still don't bother to change the number.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Tony Randall would fall in that category.
He loves your call.
Didn't see him at the fight. Shocker.
Because Tony Randall is not a celebrity along the lines of Wesley Snipes, or
he's no Tony Curtis.
Tony Curtis is a bigger star than Tony Randall.
Tony Curtis, really, and I mean, these are the same people that watched Antonio Banderas, Woody Harrelson, these people walk in. When Tony Curtis came in, I don't know why, there were three or four people from the crowd that went, Tony, yeah! And everybody broke into spontaneous applause, and then he gave one of these. One of these, like, Roman Emperor greetings.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, can I talk to Don and Mike?
Yes, you're talking to us now.
Hey, Don and Mike, first time caller, long time listener. How are you?
Hey, we don't hate it too much when people say that.
I got a real good one for you.
A real good what?
I live up here in Centerville, Virginia. Let's see you on JFK.
Right.
On Sunday, I was out in the yard doing some yard work, and I got two spots in front of my townhouse, and
The whole movie theater is just packed. All these people just standing outside. Star Wars. So this car pulls up.
Hold on. What'd you say? You got two spots in front of your house. What do you mean, two parking spots?
Right, two parking spots.
So you live near a movie theater?
Right across the street from the multiplex in Centerville.
Oh, that's all right. That's the multiplex up there, right? Big
right.
theater.
Well, anyway.
Nice neighborhood.
Excuse me?
I was saying, nice neighborhood.
Right across the street from a movie theater.
It's very, very crowded with apartments and townhouses around.
The apartments are on the other side. That's lower L.A. I'm on the upper side.
All right, okay. So you're in the upper crust of people that live across the street from a movie theater.
Right. So anyway, this car pulls up into my parking spot and then get out, and it's four geeks. And I'm out there, and I'm like, what can I do for you? And the guy's like, well, we're going to go watch Star Wars, but there's no place to park. Do you mind if we park here? I'm like, yeah, I don't mind if you park here. I'm like, look, we'll give you $20. I said, you give me 50 and you can park here. The guy's like, well, we can give you 40. So, all right, park there. So give me $40.
Bunch of rubes.
Doofuses.
Yeah, right. Yeah, same thing. Means the same thing.
I'm all for this guy. I mean, that's like somebody, you know, when you're in a townhouse, that's kind of technically like somebody wanting to use your garage.
Free enterprise.
Right. That's right. So my buddies come over, and we're watching the race from Saturday night, the NASCAR race, and they're like...
Shocker.
Yeah. When did you get the new car? I said, it's not my car. I told them what happened. You let some geeks park in your lot. I was like, let's go flatten their tires.
Oh, after they gave you the money?
Oh, now that's not good, man.
That's not fair.
It gets funnier. So I'm the one that's always starting things.
Hold on. What are you doing there? You turn your radio off or something?
No, I'm in the dining room. I don't have no radio on.
Okay.
So you don't hear my radio. I've heard those people call.
Go to the bedroom.
So.
across the street from the movie theater. But he lives in the good part.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Across the street from the movie theater. Hey, listen. When I was a kid, when we lived on Norbeck Road in Rockville, we lived right across the street from a movie theater and a people's drugstore.
You so you could go get your toothpaste and go to the movies without getting into the car.
Right. Right.
I can do that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Toothbrush right next to it. So anyway, we flattened the two tires.
Well, now that's not good.
That's not good if they've already paid you $40.
There was no reason to flatten their tires.
They were geeks.
But, I mean,
they
already paid
you
$40, though.
What geek would pay you $40? Parking Superfresh. It's free.
But it's your obligation if they've paid you money to look out for their car and not do that type of thing.
Right. Well, what happened was they come back and they got two tires that are flat. So they come knock on my door. And I opened the door and I said, who flattened my tires? I said, your tires are flat? They said, yeah. I said, well, I have a bicycle pump. I can loan you that. I mean, I don't know.
Oh, Jesus, you're amazing work.
Now it goes from being nasty. Did they believe that they could inflate their car tires with a bicycle pump?
They went out there and actually tried to do it.
Yeah, I can't believe it. Star Wars fans are guys that are, like, smart, right?
Yeah, they're supposed to be.
Right? Like, book smart?
They're supposed to be.
Wouldn't they know that you can't pump up a car tire with a bicycle pump?
Yeah, I've been down on the guy, but then that goes into high entertainment. How long did they take to do that?
I'm still down on him because he flattened their tire.
Yeah. Right. You gotta ask Flo Joe. Flo Joe knows me. I'm a good friend
of Joe.
He used to work for me. And I do this to anybody. I even go next door and mess with my neighbors. I don't mind.
You flatten people's tires?
No. We have some Oriental people live next door. I went over there and knocked on the door and asked them if they had any dog recipes.
You just sound like a real lovable guy.
You only live once. You gotta have fun.
Okay. All right. We've heard an awful lot about you thus far in this call.
So you basically collected $40 and had your afternoon's entertainment as well.
Well, what ended up, I was a nice guy. I did help them. I did take their tires off and we went over to this gas station. I did pump them up for them.
So you did.
Well, that's only right being you let the air out of the tires.
But it was fun.
It was fun. All right. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Okay, right. Don and Mike.
All right.
God.
See you later.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
Look who's here. It's Mr. Green.
Joe and his friend.
There he is.
I have a bicycle pump.
Thank you, sir. We will pump the tires up with the bicycle pump.
You got any dog meat? Hey, you chinks.
Jesus.
I'm the biggest a-hole in the neighborhood.
Hello, John and Mike Show.
Yeah, what an idiot he is. Jesus Christ, he announces where he lives?
Yeah, I know. I had the same thought. I was going to say to him halfway through the call, aren't you concerned that the guys whose air you let the tires out, aren't you concerned that they might be listening to the show today?
It sounds like to me, though, if it's the kind of guys I think they are, they're probably incapable of any revenge.
Hold on a second. There's something going on behind the scenes. Rob Grippy is here, and can you tell me what he wants?
He's moved back.
I don't think we need to bring him in, do we?
I don't think that.
Come on.
That's really nice.
We don't need to bring. We got other stuff
to
do. We got more.
To see what he looks like. But I mean,
have him walk by the window.
Is his hair long now?
Just so we can look at him. Just have him walk by the window.
Okay.
I will.
Grippy. Rob Grippy.
Like we're at the zoo. Well, look at the Rob Grippy exhibit.
He, formerly of Las Vegas, Nevada, now moving back to the Washington, D.C. area.
You know, man who lives in car.
Again. Rob Grippy. Grippy. Scary Grippy.
I don't have anything to talk to him about, do you?
No.
I mean, I really
I didn't want to see what he looks like.
I can't even think of what conversation I'd have with him. Hey, how you doing? You moved back in the area?
He's always enjoyable.
Are you still living in your car?
To look at.
Just look at him, Mike. Get up and look at him. His hair is... It looks like he's wearing a hairpiece.
There he is. Yeah, see? That was...
Okay. Thank you, Rob.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care.
All right, now he's wearing a T-shirt for a casino in Vegas.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Didn't know your hair got
all bye bye.
You know who he looks like? Anybody remember the old TV show Kojak? Kojak's brother?
Yeah, pretty close.
That is George Savalas.
Pretty close. He looks like.
Loves you, baby.
I am Rob Grippy. Well, I don't think we're breaking any hearts by not bringing him in for a segment today.
No, he has that automobile look to him, though, does he?
Yeah, he does.
I didn't know his hair was curly. You know, when we made, you know, when he...
Did he have, like, a shaved head every time we did it before?
I thought so, yeah. It started at Las Vegas, or I guess a live broadcast in Baltimore, and he shaved his head on the air.
Right.
And then kept it for a while after that.
But I don't think I've ever seen it quite that long.
No.
And, I looked like a toupee to me. That looked phony.
It did look
It
phony.
Really did.
George Savalas.
Rob Grippy. Well, sorry, we'll be denying all of our audience members today an exclusive interview with Rob Grippy.
I know that people will be upset about that.
Send us your cards and letters. Hello? Yeah, I'm sorry. You still here?
Yeah. I'm still here.
Okay, what do you want?
I'm just saying, what a slapdick. He's going to have all this
fans.
Let's see, his show is going to be egged.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a pretty, when you talk about the complexes around there, it's pretty, pretty large area.
As he said, you only live once.
Yeah,
just slapdick. Okay, thank you. I got to agree. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Oh, say, can you see?
This is your guy, Mike. You don't think this is your guy?
Hey, Mike.
No, this is Cher.
Cher
lady.
Oh, it's the Cher lady.
You're usually the one that always spots the Cher lady.
I thought for sure that this was your guy that sings in the bathroom.
Now, he's got perfect phone quality when you hear him. The phone is never muddled like this one is.
Hello, Cher lady.
Hey, baby. How are you? I'm on the top of my career. Because Sonny died, I am a millionaire.
This is the Cher lady.
Right.
You want to pick her up on waivers here?
I've always been a fan of her calls to the show. You're the one that hates her, right? I always kind of like her. Yeah, I'll put her on my bench. Let her ride the pine.
Okay, good.
You're on my team of callers, Cher lady.
You are making me so happy. I'm having a resurgence. I'm the Renaissance lady. Not only am I the Cher lady, I'm one of your favorites now again.
I like the Cher lady. I don't like your other crazy voices.
Well, you know, I just love being on this show. Can I just say your new screener is the loveliest woman?
Go back to being Cher.
Oh, I am being Cher.
Oh, I thought you were still being the Renaissance lady.
This is all fair, but I'll just talk as me, okay? Your news screener is so nice. I get rejected all the time, but I always feel good because she always is so sweet to me.
Well, thanks for giving us a little of the real you.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right, goodbye.
Oh, wait, one more thing. A special episode of Suddenly Susan tonight, David Strickland's death, affects everyone at the gate.
All right, see you later.
Bye-bye. Oh, wait a minute. You're not playing my theme music, the bitch thing.
I think somebody's going to be released.
Yeah, I think so. All right, goodbye, Cher. Hello, Donna Mike. I think it's a good bit when she calls to pretend to be Cher.
Yes,
she has a good Cher.
That's right.
But then once you get past that...
Yeah, she does have a lot of depth.
That's when you get to Misery. You know that movie?
I won't be ignored.
Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yes, we are.
Hey, you guys are doing a great job today. I was calling because Don had mentioned he played paintball this weekend and became a convert over it. I played last weekend for the first time. Got beat the hell out of playing it, but it was a good time. My only complaint was the little 7-year-old kid running around who took out me, four of my friends, two other players on my side of the field, without exposing maybe 2 inches of the top of his head the entire time that he did.
Yeah, you know, when I played, there were some real little kids that were playing, too, and damn it, they're not hard to kill. Very hard to kill a little kid in that game.
Yeah, it's very frustrating. I know you were pounding your fist on the pavement.
Why won't the little kids die?
Damn.
No, you're right. I am a convert. I do love paintball. I really got into it.
Are you so much of a convert that you, know, and I, this to me is the measure of somebody who's really into it. Will you make the investment in the gun?
2 weeks.
There you go.
Well, I already told Bart. We're both buying guns in 2 weeks.
Now, do you do that down at the beach, or do you do that around here?
Oh, we do that at the beach.
There's a brand new place at the beach where there's like these huge fields, and you can climb up in trees, and there are towers. Yeah. Do they have anything around here, like if you get really obsessed with it?
Yeah, they got it around here.
Okay. I just want to go on record say that I wouldn't, whenever, I know you do it with your son, but I just like to say, whenever the spirit moves you, if you ever want to take somebody along to do that, I'd love to join you out there. I would love to do it again.
I don't think it's good for our relationship. Play a game that involves guns.
So you'd put it in the same category as us going golfing together.
Right.
Okay, I hear you.
Exactly the same.
I totally understand.
It stands for a lot more damage.
I do. They come back. We come back like bloody.
Hello, Don and Mike. Because when you get hit with a paintball,
right,
it hurts and you get mad.
Yeah, I mean, you would be in a situation where you're coming back. There was no need for you to shoot me in the car.
Hello.
Hi, Mike.
Yes.
Mike, my cunt hurts.
The personal call for you, Mike.
All right.
Why do we have to hit the delay? What did he say?
He said that, he said my C hurts.
Oh, I thought he said my tongue hurts.
No.
How could he have a C?
What?
Yeah, I just found out Mike Hunt filled in for me, right?
that's the guy.
Yeah, the guy. Right. I think he was talking about the guy.
Oh, Mike Hunt.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
Oh, the disc jockey.
I think you might be absolutely right.
All right. Hello.
I was confused.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey. First time listener, long time caller.
Okay.
Hey, Don, I'd like to ask Mr. O'Meara a question.
He's right here. You don't have to ask me permission.
What? Mike.
What?
With each and every one of those celebrities, did you walk up and mention the name of Don and Mike to them?
No, I didn't. I did not fulfill the obligations of a celebrity sighting. I did not.
Well, then I hate to awaken you from your slumber.
Yes.
But
what?
Who blew it?
All right. All right.
You didn't give us a good you blew it.
All right, let's call
I'm giving you a gesture, sir, right now.
Let's call Wesley Snipes
and his new number.
The number that he gave on his answering machine
is the number he can be reached. I'd like to mention that's a rule for listeners of the program.
Hello, sir. And you reached the office of
Snipes.
Please say your full name. Please say, put my call through or take a message.
Put my call through.
Okay, I'll try to find him for you.
Amazing.
I got to get an answering service like this.
Very cool.
Look at this. First, I got to find my cell phone.
Super cool.
But once I find my cell phone, I've got to get an answering machine like this.
Are you kidding?
Very exciting. You've reached the voicemail for
Snipes.
I'm sorry. He didn't seem to be where he told me I could find him. Would you like to leave a message so I can have him get back to you? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. First, I need your area code and phone number. Please enter it using touch tones, followed by the pound key.
Here's the pound key.
Oh.
Now leave your message, then hang up or press pound. Go ahead.
Wes, baby! Don and Mike.
How are you, Wes? Bumped into you at the Mandalay Bay over the weekend. Well, not really. I saw you from about 2 miles away.
Just wanted to say, Wes, always bet on black.
You look great, and hope the filming with James Woods is going wonderfully.
You're the man.
You're great, Wes.
Hey, can you tell me where you got this cool answering thing? Because we called and it said Snipes. And then she said, I'll try to find him for you. How'd you get that, man?
We're big fans and we'd love to chat with you. Feel free to call us anytime on the Don and Mike show.
You know us, Wesley.
We're your favorite DJs.
Don and Mike. Okay. Bye.
Got it. Hang up or press pound to send it. Otherwise, to hear your message, press 1.
Oh.
To re-record it, press 2. To cancel it, press 3. To mark it urgent, press 4. To send it and compose another.
His damn phone screwed up again.
Hang up or press pound to send it. Otherwise, to hear your message, press 1.
All right, the whole thing.
To re-record it.
Okay. Shut up. They just went kaputs on us.
Went on the fritz.
Just like last week. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Sports 1140.
What's the matter? I'll tell you what's the matter. I go out of my way for you. I do everything to try and make you happy. I feed you. I clean you. I dress you. And what thanks do I get? Oh, you bought the wrong paper, Annie. I can't write on this paper, Annie. Oh,
forget your stupid paper, but you just better start showing me a little more appreciation around here, Mr. Man.
You. I just had this wild thought that you could be on the radio. There is a requisite involved. You have to be Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Hey, listen, this is a warning.
Yes.
We're going to play Shrimp Trivia this week on the show.
Oh, boy.
We will start our pimping and trolling tomorrow.
Yes, so if you've always wanted to get naked in our studios, this is your opportunity.
Also tomorrow, you'll hear Dennis Murphy in the first of his weekly, daily calls for a week.
Yes, Dennis being the house mother for a house full of women.
Yes, he's going to be the Hugh Hefner of Dewey Beach, Delaware, sponsored by Miller Lite.
Damn tasty beer, especially at 8:30 in the morning.
Dennis Murphy and five women from our audience broadcasting live for a week from the beach house right at Dewey Beach, Delaware.
And basically every call during the day is a recap of the night before.
And we'll hear the first call on tomorrow's episode.
Cool.
Now, we just had a problem with the telephones. Let me see if they're working okay. Hello?
Will I get you say?
This is the guy you just gotta have the perfect telephone?
Someone sing this way when I'm not tired. Make that what the fly makes that.
You can have it.
I take the share lady any day. Personalizing it for you now that you've played him.
Very flattered. Very, very flattered. There you go.
Okay, he's all yours.
Go, team.
He's all yours, Mike.
I never had a personal
line. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I was just wondering, how can you watch the Michael Landon story when Jesse the Body Ventura was on? That's great American hero. Like,
please, let me just tell you something. If you watch that show, please don't be offended by this. You're stupid. If you watch that Jesse Ventura piece of crap, first of all, it wasn't really Jesse Ventura.
Right.
It
was a guy pretending to be Jesse Ventura. You mean you would rather watch about some stupid wrestler that becomes governor, a story that we've all heard a million times, rather than see what a bad father Michael Landon was?
We already know he's a bad father. We want to see what a good governor Jesse's going to be.
I think it was the clear choice. The Michael Landon story, I believe, for any TV viewer, a real TV viewer, the clear choice last night was to watch Little Joe.
All right, they had four good choices last night. You had Independence Day,
right,
which is a great movie, except it was on regular TV, so it had commercials and they took the cussing out,
right?
Then you had Cleopatra. I can't imagine anybody would watch that.
Your Honor.
Right? Then you had Jesse Ventura for, you know, guys like you. And then, you know, the rest of us were watching the Michael Landon story.
I would believe the vast majority. Is there any information on that yet?
We haven't got the overnight rating, so I didn't
see
the results yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking Jesse's going to be the next Kennedy, so there we go.
You think that Jesse Ventura will be president of the United States?
Well, he's going to get the shot.
Oh,
he's
going to
get the time, just like the Kennedys.
Yeah, right. Okay, where are you calling from?
Greenville.
South Carolina. Okay.
Maybe on the ice fishing shacks of Minnesota he does well, but I just don't think that would translate to the rest of the country. Unfortunately, too many big cities.
Come on, the guy's a joke. I mean, we enjoy Jesse Ventura for what he is. He's a joke, man.
Even he didn't like the movie.
Of course he
did. Oh, didn't he really?
No, he didn't. It was an unauthorized biography, and he refused to have anything to do with it.
The guy that played him was just awful.
He had such an idiot face. I mean, Jesse Ventura, I know probably you say, hey, he's got an idiot face, too. But he has a smarter idiot face. This guy had just a pure idiot face. You know?
All right. Well, thank you. At least you didn't watch Cleopatra.
Thank you.
Robbie did, didn't he?
Robbie, did you watch Cleopatra?
Yeah, with his mother.
No, come on. Robbie was right there with the Michael Landon stuff.
I watched, I turned Cleopatra on during one of the commercial breaks, and the one problem with Cleopatra, the lady playing Cleopatra, a bit of a hottie, but that guy, is it Timothy Dalton?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it's the guy that wants to be Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, he sucks.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. That has some bad special effects in that Cleopatra.
Yeah.
In the commercials,
like from the Ten Commandments special effects.
Like where they got a bathtub, and you're supposed to think that that's like a river or something. You know, they put a toy boat in a bathtub.
Yeah, totally cheesy.
And you're supposed to think it's like a big ship with all of those Egyptian guys.
Yeah, you just can't pull that off unless you have to spend billions of dollars nowadays to make something like that look credible.
Cleopatra's boring, man.
Mm-hmm.
So
20 years ago, or whenever Elizabeth Taylor did that stupid movie, 40 years ago.
I would like to make Cleopatra, but make it as a vivid feature.
Mm-hmm. You know, porno.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Pornographic.
Mm-hmm.
That would be really good. Like, and really have
with the asp and stuff.
You know, yeah.
Let her have sex with the asp.
Yeah. You'd have to give it one of those porno names, so you couldn't call it Cleopatra. But what could you call it?
Klingopatra.
Klingopatra.
Cleopatra. Cleoastra.
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 See, that didn't take any time. And you think they work hard on those titles.
Starring Annie Sprinkle as Cleoastra.
Yeah. Maybe you see what she does with the snake.
Robbie, don't we have a story about Annie Sprinkle in our wacky story file?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, I got one here. Hold on a second.
Annie Sprinkle.
Come on.
Annie Sprinkle.
Porn star Annie Sprinkle loses houseboat to fire.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is there anything we can do? And all of her pictures and her films, the master copies were on that boat and got burned up in that fire.
Not familiar with the work of Miss Annie Sprinkle.
We got her phone number.
We might call her up one of these days. Hey, what about Cleopatra? That's the biggest one, right?
There it is.
That's it. That's it.
Annie Sprinkle is Cleopatra. This could revive her career. There you go.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike! Don and Mike!
I'm not claiming them. I'm not laughing.